aboard, you people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Friday.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Friday's going okay so far, Ro?
So far, so good.
Good.
So far, so good. There was just a little bit of panic on this Friday.
As I
looked at the clock and realized that the show started in 4 minutes.
I was like,
so there was that.
We've seen Ro come in just a little late, but usually by the time we hit Skilling's forecast, you are in your seat, ready to go.
Yeah, it was
today. Yeah,
had a little bit of an issue getting in, but I am fine now.
Good.
We are here. Listen, the bell went off and I was here. That's, darn it!
Dead, you're not tardy. Counts for you were present at the appropriated time.
Now I have been on the phone with our producers throughout the day trying to figure out exactly what it is that that we need to cover because there's so many things that have happened here. You know, it turns out that Korean meeting, that might not take place now.
Might not take place.
Yeah. The White House is like, well, yeah, a couple things got to kind of happen. And
you know when someone invites you somewhere, you say yes, but you don't really mean it.
I don't know who those guys were out on the lawn last night on the driveway that were saying that we were going to be there. What were their names?
The South Korean delegation?
Yeah. They said some things that didn't necessarily happen. The problem here is that the president kind of did this not totally on his own. The State Department was involved in this because there was an undersecretary of state that was in the meetings with the president when he decided to do this. But he decided it quickly that he was going to do it. Then he got so excited, he ran into the press room, popped his head into the press room yesterday.
Yep.
And it was like, Kim Jong-un's mom invited me over for dinner. I'm going.
He said he had an important announcement that will likely come around 7 p.m.
Right. Wait, I got invited. I'm going to dinner at someone else's house.
I've already RSVP'd. Forgot to tell Rex Tillerson, though.
Mom.
My plus one might not be coming.
Can I go to Kim Jong-un's house for dinner? It's kind of like that. Sort of like that. So he pops his head in. He gets all excited. And then the Koreans go out and they go, yeah, this is going to happen by May. This is going to be this. This is going to be that. And, you know, Kim Jong-un has never left since he's been the premier of North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
He has never left North Korea. So what makes anyone think he's going to leave now? And the president is not going there.
His sister went to South Korea for the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that be a...
Now, his sister's traveled around the world, though, before. He had two, right? He went to college in
Switzerland,
or school in Switzerland.
School, I think. Yeah.
And boarding we know how school. He feels about his family.
I don't know. I don't know how Switzerland State's basketball team is this year, Kev. You'll have to follow.
Yeah, it's a rebuilding year.
Rebuilding year for them. Okay. All right.
A lot of big recruits in, though, for next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not really nice to his family, we found, right? He takes them out. He took his half-brother out with the deadly nerve agent. Did you know he had the antidote to the nerve agent that he was carrying with him?
How Game of Thrones is that?
Totally.
Totally. Right. They're basically inviting him down to King's Landing is what's happening here.
Yeah, with the kiss of death.
Yeah.
And you need that little vial.
Right.
God.
I would,
come
on. Carrying
it with him.
It's like Cersei over here. Hello.
You can't meet with Cersei, can you?
So anyway, some people have said to the president, okay, all right, that's fine. We have to have some preconditions. Now, Sarah Sanders was in the White House briefing today and was asked about what were the preconditions. We were going there without preconditions, and there were some. I mean, the North Koreans did say they were going to stop their nuclear testing, but we don't really, how do we know that? Because we don't have any eyes on the ground there. They don't let inspectors in.
Well, they certainly won't be firing ICBMs into the water. Right. Well,
not a ICBM. It's not a ding.
Just a little one this
it's
time.
It's a firework.
Or maybe they will.
It's a firework go wrong. Don't worry.
It's just a little guy.
Oh, is that an ICBM? You know. So we don't know. But they say they're not gonna do that, and that they don't mind. And again, this is according to the South Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind that we're gonna be continuing to do our war games between Japan, South Korea, and the United States. Right. We always do these exercises. Where we drive a ship real fast somewhere and then turn it around. Go, whoa, faking you out. I'm not touching you. So it's like that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that I think is most interesting is that it turns out the Supreme Leader, his news agency this morning never mentioned this.
Hmm. Didn't they say that I was listening to CNN this morning, and I thought they reported that it will take 24 to 48 hours before events will appear in the press. They don't exactly work on the same 24-hour news cycle that we do.
You mean they've already written the script and they decided to wait? Like they couldn't add a line?
Or it has to get approvals, or you know, I mean, obviously it's state-controlled media, so it doesn't.
It's got to run up the flagpole.
You don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I just have a feeling that there's a lot of people. Listen, if you can get this thing done, I do find it slightly ironic then that in his first year, when Barack Obama winked at the idea of maybe meeting with Kim Jong-un, there was such a hue and cry among conservatives about that. Like, how can the president of the United States meet with a tin horn dictator like that? Blah, 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 blah. You know, this whole idea that the Obama administration or that the Bush administration before him or the Clinton administration before them, or, you know, you just keep going back.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the Bush 1, go back to Reagan, go back, you know, you got to go all the way back to Truman. We haven't really been able to get what we want out of this, right?
No.
Went to a very bloody war. A lot of Koreans lost their lives. It was unwinnable. That is not a ground war peninsula that can be easily conquered by one side or the other because it's hilly and rocky and the terrain is just not right. It's not right for a ground war. And that's what we learned the hard way. And so this is a different kind of place here. And we haven't been able to do it. And politically, in America, we use these lances of weakness against each other. Like, they're weak. They couldn't do it. You know, the Republicans have done against the Democrats. The Democrats have done against the Republicans. And, you know, how dare you do this? And why would you meet with this guy and all that? And so that's really what this has all been about. Now, Trump is so vastly different than everybody else. And he plays that you're weak and I'm strong thing more than any other American politician in the last 100 years has ever done. So there he is. So he's got an opportunity to do it. But in the meantime, if the whole world goes, oh my God, what? All of a sudden your sphincter clenches at the notion of those two sitting across the table from each other and Dennis Rodman in between them.
And that's not far-fetched.
No, it is not. It is not. That's the thing is that no one will criticize. I mean, Republicans, this is always amazing how quiet Republicans get about this. It's like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I can't say, you know, Dennis Rodman's here. Well, there'll be surrogates on TV. Well, there's a good reason Dennis Rodman's here. You know, Dennis Rodman, you know, engenders trust with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump knows him. And, you know,
well,
whatever happens, they'll come up with an excuse for it. And it's ridiculous.
Well, it just seems to me the total surprise nature of this announcement didn't seem to be vetted by many other people other than the president. And that's fully his right to do that. But just yesterday, Rex Tillerson was saying we are a long ways from having negotiations, long ways from being face to face with them. Pence earlier this week, our posture toward the regime has not changed until we see X, Y, and Z. We won't meet with them. And then boom, we got a face to face. It's happening. Happened by May. It's all going down.
Well, it will not happen by May, by the way. That we do know for sure. Now from the White House, which is they have said on the record, they have said at a place and time of our choosing, and off the record said it's not going to happen before May.
Well,
so
they want to see concrete steps in action before they sit down.
Exactly.
But we've accepted the invitation.
Yeah.
But we're going to see concrete steps.
I got invited to dinner. I'm going. Goodbye. All right. Do we have right now Judy telling us what's happening at the bottom of the hour news?
The president wants to make sure that we denuclearize the peninsula and that we're securing and helping have a safer world. I'm glad that you guys are acknowledging a lot of the problems of North Korea, because just a couple of weeks ago, a lot of members in the press were actually elevating North Korea and some of the members of the regime and comparing them to people in the United States and in this administration. I think that is actually what put North Korea on a similar stage. No action by this administration has even remotely demonstrated a level of rise that the media did during the Olympics and through some of those stories.
A level of rise there, she said. Like
rise.
Making them look bigger. She's complaining there because they were asked, hey, are you, is this really helpful to make give the potentate of North Korea the same stage as the president of the United States? And then you could tell it's stuck in their craw that people were comparing Kim Jong-un's sister to Ivanka Trump. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of a shot at that. They never miss an opportunity to go small at the White House, I have found. Whenever you have an opportunity to, you know, to be particularly persnickety about something, they will do
it. Take it.
Yeah. Michael Steele, our friend, is joining us right now. And all right. Do you think this meeting is going to take place? Because now there's some questioning that's going on in Washington.
I think some form of it may take place. I don't see the president actually getting in a space at this stage with Kim Jong-un, simply because I think it's not necessarily in the president's interest to do so. There's a lot of diplomatic work that needs to be done. Hell, we don't even have an ambassador to South Korea in place who would be the point person for any of this, any and all of this, quite honestly. So I just don't see this thing materializing the way it was presented out to the country last evening. And I think the president, like he, as he's seen on some other issues recently, the thunderous applause that he thought would come from that, it just isn't there, because this is serious. Yes, we want to bring down the noise around pushing the nuclear button. That's good. And I think, you know, I give the president credit for actually getting U.S. policy to this point, because we've not been here before. No president has gotten us to a point where at least there's talk between North Korea and Washington about actually doing the denuclearization thing. And that's the rub. It is not in the interest of North Korea to denuclearize, because they've looked at those other countries that have played this particular game with the U.S., and they have always come up short. And that is not something that Kim Jong-un is interested in.
So what do you make of the whole approach to sit down and do this? The White House is saying, well, this is because our full pressure on their economy is working. We're isolating them. Our allies, or actually places like China and others, or Japan, are helping us to really isolate that regime. And that is what's working. That may be what brought him to this point. Do you buy that, or you think there's some ulterior motive?
I do. I think that there is a lot of truth to that. There, you know, the Japanese have been very consistent in supporting the U.S. Economic pressures on North Korea. China has been silent, so that's been helpful. They've not been in the room egging the North Koreans on, or standing outside the room screaming and shouting about the U.S., you know, trying to take advantage of the situation. So, yeah, there have been any number of subtexts that have been underway that have been very helpful to getting to this point. The North Korean economy, quite honestly, sucks. I mean, it is not a fun place to live. It is not a fun place to try to do business as a North Korean enterprise. And so those internal pressures oftentimes put the pressure on leaders, as we know, to come to the proverbial table. But there's still a lot of caution that goes with that. You know, I think that, you know, Trump being Trump, of course, wants to make it about him. Gee, look what I did. Look what I'm doing. And that's all well and good, because the guy on the other side is pretty much the same way. But that also makes it a little bit more perilous, because this is a very, very delicate dance between these three countries, South Korea, North Korea, and the United States. And then, of course, you've got the observers, China and Japan, who are also very self-interested in how this turns out.
Well, I think another reason that they're coming to the table now, that North Korea has decided it thinks it's a good time, because they're ready to go. Because they're basically right on the precipice of a right, and they have something to bargain with, and they may not give it up. They may not give up their nuclear weapons. CNN. Hold on 1 second. CNN is reporting that within the year they will have the strike capability of hitting America. That this is based on our intelligence, and they may have enough nuclear fuel to build 60 or 70 weapons, which, you know, can cause a lot of damage. And so,
I think all of that's right. I think, and that's what's interesting about the space we're in. We're both right for the same reasons, and that is everybody's looking to see how this thing gets gamed out in a way that, you know, from the Western perspective, is, you know, you're denuclearizing North Korea. The same is true. China doesn't want a nuclear North Korea any more than we do, but okay, there it is. They're right there on the border, so we've got to work with that. Tokyo certainly doesn't want that. But you still have what Kim Jong-un has already accomplished and already done. And so, yeah, I think you're right that there is some value to coming to the table now and saying, yeah, let's talk, because now I got something I've got to leverage
with. And by the way, South Korea...
The idea of denuclearizing is just not, though, going to be the starting point here. Mm-hmm.
South Korea has a very, very robust steel industry.
They do.
And
importing 10% of the U.S. steel.
And by brokering this meeting, they pull themselves off the tariff list.
Yeah, it's meaningful.
So a little something. And by the way, the tariff list, it turns out it was not an absolute tariff. I know you're going to find this hard to believe. The great negotiator-in-chief. The tariff list is not set in stone. Canada, thankfully. Mexico, thankfully, not on the tariff list anymore. South Korea now, not on the tariff list. Look how good they are. All Germany has to do is to put up a Trump hotel in Bonn, and the next thing you know, they're off the tariff list.
Is that how it works?
That's probably true.
That is how it works.
Probably very true.
All right. Michael, thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Here we go. Judy Pollack standing by. WGN News coming your way in 2 little minutes. All right. Here she is. Susan Schmidt from Westwood Holdings in Dallas. She's Senior Vice President, Senior Portfolio Manager, a lifelong Chicagoan, except when she's in Dallas. And we would like to point out that right now, I'm looking at my little magic board here, and it says that the Dow Industrials, and I know you hate it when I bring this up, but the Dow Industrials was up 440 points today. It's now within 5% of its all-time high.
NASDAQ hit an all-time high.
So it's the jobs report got everybody giddy?
So the jobs report got everybody excited, but the market has been doing better. So remember, we talked about this a month ago, and Ro, you did a better job at just panicking less than you normally do. But when the market goes down, you've got to look to the longer term, and this is a great example of that. So the market is very skittish, and we had that concern over, you know, the last jobs report that sort of started things off, and what does that mean for the economy? What does it mean? And it was a good number. Now we're a month later. It's a really good number. We added 313,000 jobs. Expectations were around 200,000. And January's number got revised up. And what's really great about this report is that while wages are ticking up, they're ticking up slowly. So average hourly earnings increased 0.1%. And it was really a Goldilocks report for the market because they want to make sure that things are going well, but not too well, because they don't want to have fear of inflation and the Fed raising interest rates too quickly. So this checked all the boxes for the market. We had a great day. It was up 1.8%, and we're back, you know, really positive territory for the year. The Dow is up 2.5% year to date. The S&P is up 4.2%. So good numbers.
Susan, I want to ask you about wages, because that's also included in this, in the jobs report. And apparently they grew less than expected, which I know most of us don't like the sound of that, because we'd like them to grow more. But Wall Street does like the sound of that, because the rising wages are sparking those inflationary issues and concerns. But I guess I just wonder, at 4% unemployment, which is kind of where we are now, so low, how is this happening that wages are not rising at a
right.
More,
well, and that was the market's, that was the market's big concern, because if wages, if we get into a competition for labor, wages increase, and that means then the ultimate end product price increases, and suddenly you have prices increasing everywhere, and then the market is worried that the Fed is going to raise interest rates to try to slow down the economy so that we don't see this sudden spike up in prices. And then the economy slows, and the market does not like that. So what we're seeing here is a really interesting phenomenon. We are maintaining a very low unemployment rate at 4.1%. And what's interesting is we actually saw the participation rate tick up. So more people came into the workforce wanting to work. And millennial employment actually ticked up quite a bit in this last report. So it's a good number. It's interesting to see. And Anna, you're asking the same question that most economists.
I got to stop you. I got to stop you. Millennial employment went up.
Yeah, no big deal.
Are they showing up for work?
Yes, right. We're very responsive.
We work remotely quite often.
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So finish your point.
the employers are thinking that they can actually hire. They're willing to test it out and hire the millennials as employees. So give us another month, and
good
we'll
luck.
See if they're still in those jobs.
I have faith.
Is there a way to monitor engagement of millennial employees on the job, just to know, you know, if they're how they're participating?
Yeah, check our Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Oh,
right, Insta.
Sorry.
Exactly. I was going to say, I'm sure there's an app that would be an indirect measurement for you.
Yeah, I could tell they're working because you see it all over Instagram. All right, yeah. So here,
look,
I
at me, I'm at work.
Yeah. Oh boy,
look how bored I am at work.
There's nothing to do around here. So work productivity is down. There's more people employed, but this is like, as the Sopranos used to say, this is a no-work job as opposed to a no-show job.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about looking forward here in terms of tariffs. Everybody talking about tariffs, and everybody thought tariffs were going to scare people and make the economy weaker. Mm-hmm. Does not seem to be the talk
of tariffs. Not the case today.
No,
but
why?
Remember that we've been talking about tariffs for, you know, the last week. And so, and really, over, you know, people had time to resonate over it, ruminate over this last weekend. And there was a lot of talking, because what do tariffs mean? Tariffs mean that we're going to increase the import.
Okay, we're breaking up a little bit here. That's always a scary thing when we start to break up here. All right, you broke up a little bit during that, but
steel tariffs are not good generally for our big automakers, et cetera. We import steel. At the same time, we do export goods, and the way for the counterparty to get back at us is not to put a tariff on our steel that goes out, but on another product, maybe our agriculture. So that's where we have to think about this as a balance. What happened with the tariffs is there's been a softening in the language as we've gone along. And so it looks like they're not going to be as strict. There are some clauses to get out of it or to make allowances for certain counterparties. And so the market now is backing off, realizing that, you know, this seems like it's softening around the edges. It may not be that bad.
We knew it. He didn't really mean it. That is kind of what, because he does. He comes in the house and he blusters. You know, all right, where's my dinner? Kids, where's your homework? Right? Or Kim Jong-un just invited me to dinner. Well, either way, he gets in there and he makes a big thing. And I'm, you know, don't worry about it. If you start to behave, I'll forget about the tariffs. But then his advisors get to him, or these other countries start to act as like, maybe it's not such a good idea. Because someone had to explain to him that Canada turns out to be our number one steel and aluminum trading partner, right? They're the number one exporter to the United States of that product. And they would be the biggest ones to take the hit. And it's like, oh, do I really?
Well, and it seems like that he got a little, he started to bend right away too. That South Korean envoy who delivered the invite from Kim Jong-un also asked for the waiver on the steel tariffs.
Right.
Seemed like more of the reason he was there.
One for one.
I have something for you, but I'll only give it to you if.
And tariffs are a very scary word for the market. So when they first started talking about tariffs, there are many academic studies that will tell you that tariffs were very bad. And again, if you reminisce about what happened in the market in the days of yore, well, that was the Great Depression. Tariffs actually are thought to have extended the Great Depression in the 30s. And so it's a big deal. When the market hears that word, it's panicked. And I think we saw a little bit of that, but the softening of it now, the market is seeing that there are ways to get around it and that we are going to be able to engage in free trade. And I think that's the most important thing.
Good.
Okay.
Susan, can I ask you also today is technically, I guess, the 9-year anniversary of the bull market, and it obviously no signs of letting up today, that's for sure, with the way we're looking at the major market indices. But how can this be? How long can this go? Isn't that another question that many are asking? 9 years seems like a long time for a bull market.
9 years is one of the longest bull markets that we've experienced. And everyone is asking that because we always think, well, it must be just like what happened before, and this is going longer, it's going to blow up at any moment. And that's not necessarily the case. This recovery is so unusual because it has had such low interest rates, quantitative easing deployed for the first time. It's been a very slow, bumpy recovery. We've been going in a positive direction, but it's been gradual. And because of that, I believe that the gradual nature of it is going to allow it to extend a lot longer. And what's interesting is businesses still feel really good about where they are. So the CFO Optimism Index, there is such a thing, is at an all-time high. Hmm. So they're feeling good about their business. They're feeling good about the potential for the coming year and the year after. Right now, it looks like we're still in a pretty healthy place. Look, unemployment's low. People are, you know, we always wish it could be better, but people are feeling good about where we're at.
Okay, wait, hold on. Where's the punch bowl? Because I need to do something here in the punch bowl.
What do you need to do?
Yeah, I need to, oh. All right. The one problem here is, of course, business is going well and CEOs are ecstatic because they just got a huge tax cut.
Right.
They've got, they're dumping regulations, which some of which seem onerous. Others seem just practical, but they're taking them all out. That's going to make the ease of doing business, and it's cheaper for these guys to do business. And the president says he's a protectionist. So if you're getting beaten by your competitors because they're coming in cheaper, we're going to stop them from that. So this is a golden era for American business in a lot of respects. Now the tariffs have a, you know, two-way effect here. So there were some people jumping up and go, whoa, that's such a good thing. But this is a really, you know, net, a really good moment for American businesses. The problem as the American consumer is that means, and maybe the American citizen, that means that businesses don't necessarily have to be as responsible to price pressure or as responsible to safety or any other kinds of things that they have been before. And that begins to have its own long-term lag effect. No one wants to talk about the long-term ever. No one wants to look at the horizon. They want to look at what's right in front of them. But there are some things we should be concerned about here.
Some loosening of restrictions, some changing of things right now. No CEO is going to go out and invest hundreds of millions of dollars in a new coal-fired plant because they know that there's a high likelihood that another administration is going to come in and say, we really are worried about air pollution and we aren't really excited about all of the pollution you're putting out with this new plant of yours. And then that will be hundreds of millions of dollars wasted. I think management teams are aware that the Trump administration has done some positive things for them. There's some counters to that too. The potential for tariffs, I think, was a heads up to the corporations as well that things may not always be in their favor. So I think overall, Ro, I hear what you're saying, and long-term perspective is important. But remember, when CEOs are deploying tens, hundreds of millions of dollars of capital, they're paying attention. They need to have a long-term benefit out of it, and they're paying attention to what the consequences might be as corporations stay, administrations change.
Okay. Yeah, sure looks like it. All right. Thank you very much, Susie Sunshine.
Thanks, Susan
Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. We appreciate it every time you're with us. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Right now, we check in with Judy Pollack, see what's coming up at the top of the hour. Here we go. It is the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yep.
Tom Skilling joins us at the top of the next hour, right after Judy Pollack's news. Maybe you can tell Judy what the weather forecast is. She seems to be slightly confused by the whole notion of it today.
As weather? What's that?
As are we. Did you see what happened to the farmer, bro?
Yeah. Couldn't happen to a nicer person.
He cried in court today.
Mm-hmm. You know, did you see the admission that even his own lawyer doesn't like him and said, sometimes I just want to smack him? Not a well-loved human being.
They pointed out at a sentencing hearing today in which he got 7 years for for irregularities in his business world, not so much just for being a jag or the fact that he raised a life-saving drug cost by 5,000%.
And made a lot of money and started buying weird things with it.
Including the Wu-Tang Clan album. Said Clang, didn't I?
Clan.
Wu-Tang Clan album.
And he now has to forfeit all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Picasso he's bought with some of these earnings from this that are related to this case, and he's going to have to sell all of it.
You know, he is the first guy ever to go to prison for basically a Ponzi scheme in which everybody made money. Because that's the problem, is that everybody made money at the end of the day in this investment. But he generally is going to jail for being a jag. I mean, that is the end of the day.
Federal charge?
Yes. It's aggravated jaggery is what it is, and he did it, and he's on his way. 7-year bid, cried like a little
bitch
in court today.
Also spoke of himself in the third person, which you always wonder about those people.
Well, they said as part of the sentencing hearing today, they had to go through his medical evaluation,
mm-hmm.
and his psychological evaluation says he has an unspecified personality disorder.
Really?
I know what it is. It's called acute ahorery, is what it's called.
Well, he is something.
We have a tribute to him a little bit later on in the program. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. So 7 years. He has also said that the jail, which he's been in for 6 months now, because mm-hmm. he threatened Hillary Clinton's hair. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. He said he'd offer $5,000 to anyone online who saw this who could get a little their hands on some of her hair.
Yeah. They threw him right in the pokey after that because it was like, what? Now he's like using his web fame to try to get people to do crazy things, which they will do, of course. So they put him in the pokey, and he's been in for 6 months. So he'll get time served for that.
Mm-hmm.
But he says he's learned a lot of good things. You know, it's not all bad, which is, again, that thing. It's like, you know, I'm tougher than you are. This is all good. Then he cries in court like a little baby. All right. We will discuss that later. Right now, it's 4 o'clock and time for the WGN News on WGN Chicago's very own 720 Chicago. You have a smart speaker. Just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. They changed that, by the way, WGN Chicago. Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace bringing you Judy Pelleck's news. Mick Jagger and Michael Jackson right here, by the way.
How about that?
How about that, Tom Skilling?
That's very impressive. I didn't realize they had worked together.
We have a deep, 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 deep library around here.
Wow.
That's how we do. That's how
you do. Yeah. You have the best. Those musical bridges are really great.
Tom Skilling's appearance on this program brought to you by Permaseal.
Thanks, Permaseal.
There you go.
You
Permaseal Basement Systems. All right. Let's talk about this warm-up that you keep promising for next week. I'm kind of liking this. See, you're getting to the middle of March next week.
That's
right?
True.
And right about the 15th, you're saying we're making a turn.
Yeah, at least for a couple of days. I'm not sure this should be interpreted as a permanent change. It's a transient-type warm-up, but it's going to be substantial. We're looking for highest. Probably in the lower mid-60s on Friday. And I wouldn't be surprised we eke another low 60 out for St. Patrick's Day on Saturday next week. So that's pretty nice. It'll certainly be a lot warmer than this weekend.
That's dangerous as hell.
It is very dangerous.
I just want to tell you.
I know. The problem is the following week, while we don't identify any particular system, we straddle this boundary between cooler air and warmer air to the south, and that can be an area where you can develop some storms. We were looking at some stats, something like 57% of years from this date forward have produced 2 inches or more of snow in a system. About a third of them have produced 4 inches or more, and about 16% of them have produced a half foot or more of snow. So the probabilities are not super high for a big snow, but they have occurred, and we've had a few storms with as much as 19 inches of snow this late in the season.
But I think Rob was referring to in the St. Patty's Day situation that, you know, how the city tends to go a little crazy on a normal St. Patty's Day, even when it's really cold frigid temperatures, but then when it warms up, it can get a little kooky.
That's
true.
You
got a bad combination here. You got a Saturday.
Yeah.
You got warm.
Right. Good point.
You got all of that. That just means that
it's a recipe.
You should invest in saline bags for emergency rooms, because I'm telling you, it's gonna or your own personal home business if you want to go.
Well, and another thing too, we may throw in some thunderstorms at some point next week. So that could be kind of interesting too. But I hear where you're coming from. You know, I remember. I used to do that St. Patrick's Day parade, the broadcast, years ago. And I remember being there when they were filming The Fugitive. Remember that day when the shots you see in that movie were shot during that parade one day? Because I remember there being a lot of commotion besides just the parade. And that was going on at the time. But that's always a fun parade. I remember another time, Roe and Anna, when the rain was coming down horizontally, and you had all these young people on these, in these, you know, baton twirling in these skimpy outfits, and it was cold, and then it started hailing.
Oh, geez.
And we were sitting up on our broadcast platform, and we had a monitor on there, and the TV set was slowly shorting out, so the picture was shrinking and shrinking in size, and you always had Al Hall, the director, yelling in the air, "Look at the monitor and talk about what you're seeing there," because it wasn't synced up with what was going on right in front of us, what we were sending home on the TV broadcast. So, but I remember we couldn't do it because the monitor was shorting out in the process. And before it was all over, we had one line, and that was it, with no discernible picture. Yeah, that's about it.
Touch it. Don't touch it.
Yeah, and you're sitting there on a metal platform on top of it, you know? So
feeling protected. Yeah, knowing what you know about weather.
You're
probably like,
I know.
Wait a minute, guys.
Yeah. Will I feel the current that takes me out, you know, when it finally, when we electrify this whole platform?
Awful.
But it never happened, thank goodness.
Yeah. Tom, I saw you sat down with the mayor for his Chicago Stories podcast. How was that?
That was quite an experience. Everybody down at City Hall was very nice. I'd never been in the mayor's office before.
It's big, isn't it? It's bigger than you think.
Wow. That's quite and it was closed that day because there was a holiday, but the staff was there, and it was very nice. And we had a chance to talk climate change, and so that was very interesting. And it was funny because the mayor took me back and showed me some pictures as he was working with President Obama in the Oval Office. And that was interesting because I have a friend who's a researcher down at the University of Illinois who was one of the climate researchers that was on Obama's climate staff the last year and a half of the presidency. So it was fun to see the office there with somebody who was chief of staff. And so it just a great experience. It really was a lot of fun.
Did he take a picture with you?
Yeah. On the wall? Oh. Yeah. And in fact, I've got some here. Mm-hmm. They just sent them to me. So I'll put them up over the weekend on the Facebook page and a link to the podcast that we did. It was fun to have a chance to sit down, unrushed and be able to talk about something like climate change.
Yeah, of course. Well, in the picture that City Hall put out of you guys sitting down for the podcast, the mayor has the warmest smile on his face. I mean, he just enjoyed talking to you, Tom.
Well, you know, it was funny because he said, "Wow," he said, "you're more a political animal than I am," or something like that. it's not political. I think the science is important, and it was fun to have a chance to talk.
Turns out, not everything is political.
No,
despite what I sound like sometimes during the day.
Right.
This isn't about politics. This is about doing the right thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I have noticed though about Rahm Emanuel. Last two times I have been at events with him, he's in a particularly good mood, and I don't know. I never.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I'm a little worried. Either means he's not running again, which
right because it's relief.
Right, the pressure's off. Or he knows something, or he just maybe he won the lottery. Maybe he's one of those guys who just hasn't handed in the card yet. Yeah. I don't know. But there's something
it's funny
about
you say
him.
That because I saw Mayor Daley the day before he announced his retirement. He walked into Girl in the Goat restaurant when I was there. Thank you. And I literally turned to I was at a table of like six people, and I turned to everyone at the table. I said, "Okay, stop. Everybody look at Mayor Daley's face." I literally said this. I've never seen him look more relaxed, more happy, more like the weight of the world was off his shoulders. And then the next day, sure enough, he announced that it was the
you
end
read
of the
that
era.
Right on.
Well, maybe it wasn't that hard to read because there is that much pressure off of your shoulders. I don't know.
Can you imagine? These are tough jobs. No matter how we come down on these people, I mean, whether it's the presidency or being the mayor or the governor or something like that, you're always going to have somebody mad at you, you know. We had a great time. I really enjoyed talking with him. You know, it's funny. One of the best lines I ever remember, I watched the Correspondents' Dinner one year when on C-SPAN, and the president was up. I guess the mayor has some salty language he tends to engage in from time to time, and I remember the president saying, "You know," he says, "Mother's Day." He said, "Now that's a tough holiday for Rom. He says, first of all, he didn't realize the word day could follow mother. And I told the mayor that. I said, you know, I think that's one of the funniest I thought on my chair when I heard that. And, you know, Obama was great at pulling off lines like that. He could be a stand-up comedian among his other talents. But
well, he also mentioned Obama also. And this is the only, very few politicians can get away with this, but Barack mm-hmm. Obama did.
Yes.
He said that, you know, Rahm Emanuel is missing part of his middle finger
yes.
on his right hand.
Right.
And he said, which, of course, renders him mute.
In a lot of circumstances.
Yeah, in fact, he brought that up to me as we were wrapping up, because there's some mm-hmm. pictures he had there of, you know, the Oval Office. And I recalled to him that joke and how funny I thought it was. And he said he brought that up, that yeah. very story.
Yeah, I love that. I love that line.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you got out of there alive. You know, there was a story in his first term in office that there was a reporter that made him so agitated mm-hmm. that he chased her around the office.
Yes. Yes.
And when you stop and you think about an office, you think, well, what does that really mean? In that office, that's like a 2 mile run to go like once around the office.
It is.
Places to hide, hopefully. Yeah.
I've been down to the Streets and Sand office down there because mm-hmm. we've done stories on Snow Command, but I've never been in the mayor's office.
It's like the yeah. lobby of the Field Museum when you walk in. Yeah. It's like that first floor.
Yeah.
It's got a gigantic ceiling. It's a gigantic room.
It's true.
And you're like, who decided this was a good idea?
No.
But, I mean, you could literally sell that thing for $2.5 million as a condo
if you wanted to.
Heck, you could subdivide it and sell it as a couple of condos. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's one office for the guy. And I figured that back in the old days that this was a way that the mayors could go to one end of the office and talk to somebody. No one at the other end of the office could hear them, especially the federal government. And
yes.
I think that's sort of the way that worked out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is an odd thing. But it does confer power. I will tell you that.
It does.
Yes, it does that for sure.
Well, I'll tell you something. And, you know, we were talking, for instance, about the Lake Michigan and what a resource. We were talking about that just the other day
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And the mayor was saying, you know, as I talk to these businesses that are looking to relocate, I make that point to them that we're never going to have seawater, because of rising sea levels, lapping at their business if they come here. And there always will be a supply of water, which is true. We're really blessed as a city and a metropolitan area that we have resource around here. But it was a great experience. I was made to feel very welcome. And, you know, I sit here sequestered in my little action weather booth here, and it's kind of fun to get out and meet other people, especially the mayor of the city.
I love it. It's like I never get out of my room,
so I was able to get out.
I don't know.
Never.
Well, it's funny. You know, I find some of the scuttlebutt in the newsroom when we're out covering stories, and I realize I'm kind of isolated back here in the weather office because I don't hear a lot of the back
Oh, trust
stories.
Me, it's better that way.
I think it probably is.
You know
is.
The stuff that goes on in that newsroom?
Lord knows.
You know, any newsroom.
Lourdes knows. I know that for sure.
Lourdes knows.
Yeah.
She would.
Yeah. Exactly.
She would understand.
All right.
But, hey, did you get any super secret juicy news out of the mayor? Like, did you ask him about Amazon and our chances? Or
no,
like
I didn't. But, boy, wouldn't that be something to grab that winner, that industry, or that business, because it's an amazing company.
I don't
company.
Think that's happening.
You don't think so, Ro?
He was with the mayor today. It would have been cool to know.
Yeah.
I don't think the mayor doesn't know yet. Huh?
No. He wouldn't know for sure.
No, there's only a couple places. I guess Atlanta just came off the...
top 10 list or whatever?
Yeah, right. Because
top
of,
five?
Because when they threatened Delta over the NRA thing, they were like... when the state of Georgia did, they were like, I think maybe we're going to move.
That would make you a little nervous as a business. Yeah.
But it's down to 20 and they're going to be doing site visits.
Wow.
So that's.
Wow.
I'd like to take them on my tour of Chicago.
Yeah.
Because I got
here's my friend Benny.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's
exactly. Here's my friend Gibson. over here is Harry.
Sure.
Let's go to Harry's. I can show them the finest martinis in this town.
Totally
one at a time.
Ro, you know this town like the back of your hand.
Yeah.
You'd be a great tour guide.
Oh, and I can take them out into the neighborhood. I'm always, every weekend, I'm out in the neighborhoods.
You're
restaurants.
Plugged in, that's for sure. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm always looking to find, like, the dive bar or dive restaurant. restaurant, yeah. And I could, yeah, I would take them. I think I'm uniquely qualified
you
to
are.
Help win this business. For
you
this
are.
Schmooze you should be part yeah. of that whole
schmoozer.
I could take it because I can read them immediately and figure out what are they like. They want big fancy. They want Bragg or Triangle. I can handle. I know all
sure.
the guys there. You want to go down to the. You want to go to Little Italy? I could handle that for you.
Sure.
Don't you worry
you
about
yeah,
it.
Right? Absolutely.
You
makes
go to
perfect
the
sense to
original
me.
Original Little Italy. I'll take you there too. If you,
you
know what I mean.
What I should have done is brought up our talk about covering the lake with a tarp. For a couple of
yes,
months, you know?
Tell them we've already done that. Tell them we've already planned, but we need Amazon drones to actually
right.
place it.
Right.
So we're just waiting on you guys,
sure.
and then we'll get the thing done.
Sure.
Yeah, let's not bring them here in the middle
no.
of like April when they go to Texas and it's all kind of
right.
warm and everything's
right.
budding.
Oh, perfect.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, don't bring them here in April when it's horizontal sleet and it's like gray
June
and you're
or
like
July.
Yeah, like right, like
maybe August.
Yeah, like late June. There's like 1 week where it's really perfect. But like the 15th to the 22nd of June, bring them in here. Let's just yeah. hope not for a big rainstorm. And then mm-hmm. say, hey, this is it's always like this.
Like the yeah. day after yeah. the Air and Water show, because that never gets good.
Yeah.
Weather.
Although we have some beautiful days in spring. The only thing is, yeah, you have those winds off the lake sometimes.
Right.
And that kind of.
But they want to be downtown.
Yeah.
They have
yeah.
the plan. We're
right.
selling them on this idea of the old
the
Tribune printing plant. I think the post office deal is.
That's gone.
Because
they're
going to
turn that
anymore.
Into condos now, right?
Well, you know what? Good luck on that too. I have a lot of thoughts on what they should be doing there, but that's they,
yeah.
they keep running into you know more and more and more trouble over there. But I think the idea now is where the right at the Chicago River and Chicago Avenue essentially
mm-hmm. yeah.
is the corner where they're thinking about building the gigantic campus, and there's a whole it's a great looking concept over there.
Yes.
So I think that there's you know I take them over there. I take them we, Anna and
yeah.
I will take them to Randolph Street. She knows
yeah.
that really
know
well.
The West Loop.
Yeah.
Show them around there.
I'll tell you, you guys would be great. No question about it.
Yeah.
You could answer any and all questions.
Hey, Jeffrey, come here. I want to say, you
right.
know, you want real Italian food? Because I can get you real Italian food. Just like
yeah.
you get in Italy.
Yeah.
Which is in Chicago, which is the funniest thing. You call it Italian food, and yet, where are you going? You're going back to Italy. It's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Take them to D'Amato's Bakery and
oh.
Grand.
Hey, you ever had piece of
know?
Bread like this? You got piece of bread like
oh,
this?
You don't have that anywhere.
Oh.
Not in Austin, Texas, for sure.
No. Here, you have this. See, take this one for family doing that way. It
yeah.
gets a little greasy. Don't
hey,
put it in your bags.
How could you say no to this city if you took you know, a couple of slices of pizza bag from here,
right.
huh?
Well, or
among
and,
other things.
Right. And then you got O'Hare, you got the intermodal, you got this is the
and
perfect
that beautiful
place
lakefront. Nobody has anything nicer looking than that. But we're centrally located too.
Right.
Just geographically, wouldn't it make sense to
it
have
does.
A facility there, like that in the
yes.
center of the country?
There isn't a coastline that is more picturesque
no.
than Lake Michigan
no.
in the United States of America.
You're right.
Let alone, I mean, okay, maybe if you go to Monaco or you go to Nice, maybe.
Maybe.
Part, maybe a Greek island somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to help
nice.
You if you
no.
want to be Amazon's second headquarters.
No.
Right.
No, this is good. We got
no.
it all worked out.
We've got, and I think our skyline's as pretty as any skyline in
yeah.
the world, you
exactly.
know? So it's
so
pretty
there you
cool.
Go. It's beautiful. We can't use
well,
the coast except for 3 weeks out of the year, but whatever. We're good. All right. Thank you very much, Tom.
Guys, happy Friday.
Thank
and,
you.
And have a great week, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
And Tom Skilling, brought to you by PermaSeal Basement System. Thank you. We'll talk to you on Monday. Right now, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Got a sweet tooth? Chicago's Best has decadent, delicious chocolate heading your way. An all-new Chicago's Best chocolate this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Yum.
That is correct. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, a top 5 at 5, a Knurble Wagon you will not believe. We got live music on Friday. We've got just so many things of great excitement and
mm-hmm.
entertainment ahead of you.
We do.
There's no reason not to stay tuned. Keep the radio on until 7 o'clock tonight and then beyond as necessary.
You make it into your weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Don't ever turn the radio off. Here is
great advice.
Judy Pilock standing by with the WGN News. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right.
Happy National Meatball Day, Kevin. Just want to make sure
love
we celebrate.
Love a good meatball. On a Friday during Lent, that's National Meatball. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter. Just the way it
that's
works.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
They couldn't get it. The problem is all the other
the days
of the year were taken, and they figured this is an opportunity. We're just going to take what we can get.
And decide who's the true meatball lovers.
Right. Yeah. I mean, are you willing to risk eternal damnation for a meatball? Because if you are, we're your guys.
Steep. Well, you risk it all for a meatball.
Right. Sienna Tavern has a good meatball. It's those jumbo-sized ones.
RPM Italian may be the greatest meatball in the city.
Gibson's Italia has a pretty good appetizer section.
Mm-hmm. Buca di Beppo, best.
Solid, strong.
Oh.
Yeah.
And really, Kevin, I don't know. Catholics are pretty lax now when it comes to that.
I know.
Just not things like love or
Judy's
marriage.
Trying to rationalize.
I am, because I
had eating
meat.
A turkey sandwich earlier.
You know, the turkey wasn't bad so anymore. Bad. But the bacon was really bad.
God wants you to have meatballs, Kevin.
I understand. Maybe I'll enjoy a meatball tonight.
Why would he have made them if he didn't want you to enjoy them?
That's a good point. That's a great point. It's the argument I made my whole life growing up on Fridays.
Happy Lent. Just do not eat meat on Good Friday.
It's right.
Because you will go right to hell.
they did not make that meatball day right there, right? Uh-uh. Good Friday?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got that whole worked out. I'm glad everybody's got a meatball choice, too. Yeah.
I got a meatball guy.
Yeah. I got a guy for meatballs.
You don't have a meatball guy, Ro? You got a guy for everything
I
else.
Do. I mean, my go-to meatball is
if you had to pick one.
If I had to pick one, is the Harry Caray's meatballs, and I order them on the side.
You got to give yourself the bell for that.
I know. I'm like, where is it? I'm trying to reach it.
Those are good.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, and I'm saying I shouldn't say that because I do happen to have a piece of Harry Caray's
piece of the meatball.
Piece of the meatball. But
the meatball guy.
I should. I had a hot dog named after me there after Dusty Baker left.
What was on it?
I don't know. It was just a hot dog. It was a Dusty Baker. They go, we have an opening for a year. We're calling it the Rokon.
What's the drink again? Isn't there a Rokon?
Oh, the 007.
The 007.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't, no longer on the menu there. You can order it off the menu. Yeah.
Well, that's like the hip thing now, off menu.
It was
ordering.
Too strong for people. They couldn't
handle it. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Too many people got sick on it.
Oh, God.
Like passing out at the bar.
You have to be a professional. I mean, that was a thing.
It came
to
with
hang
a warning label.
I mean, people.
Seasoned veterans only.
Yeah. Amateurs walk up there, think they can order the Rotini. Watch out.
007.
007.
It's a skull and crossbones come with it and a black box warning where they show a before and after picture. They show me and then they show literally a skeleton. And they go, this is what happens.
It's illegal in 30 states.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I'm kind of liking the Rotini.
Yeah, the Rotini.
Double Rosa.
You might want to try that next.
Yeah.
That's Rotini.
Yeah. Well, the Rotini, that could be like, some kind of a pinkish drink. Mm-hmm. Although I did know a guy. I did know a guy. I knew one of the toughest guys I ever knew. Ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Uh-huh.
Drinks Cosmopolitans.
Cosmos are so refreshing.
Too sweet.
Up.
No.
Two. He drinks them up.
They're not sweet.
They have...
Yeah, they're sweet.
Yeah, they are. They've got the raspberry Chambord in them.
No, that's the French martini.
Oh. Wait, what does the Cosmo have?
Cosmo's just citrus vodka, lemon, and a splash of crayon.
Yeah, it's still...
Yeah,
it's still
but
just look at the way it looks. I mean, you can't be walking around a bar with that.
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy, literally, I mean, can have people killed, and he's like walking around with it, holding the martini glass by the stem, and I'm like, what are you doing? Hey, don't ask.
A little lime on
the... I like this.
Over rocks, if you want.
Real men drink pink.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll be honest with you.
A Budweiser and a shot of Jack Daniels.
That's
a guy's guy
for
you.
That's a tough guy right there.
Some hair on your chest.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it comes out your nose like that.
That's how you know it's working.
And then those meatballs aren't sitting so well.
Yeah. All right. So that's your meatball. This was your meatball moment.
Meatball Day.
Yeah,
what was it?
Yeah. What?
National Meatball Day. So they're celebrating in cities everywhere.
And we have no meatballs here? I'm shocked.
We do. We've got, let me see any.
What, do you have meatballs under the desk? You're not sure if they're there?
No, I'm talking about who's gotten any awards for them.
Oh,
no, I'm talking about why aren't there any meatballs here at the radio station to eat?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Good question.
Kevin was thinking. I said it.
That'd be nice.
Because it's Friday and it's Lent.
Yeah, I think that's why.
One of the reasons we didn't shoot for the meatballs. Oh, who else has got a good meatball? Now that I think about it.
Hold on
a second. Mm-hmm. I know they've been on the show before, but they quite good is that Armand's Victory Tail on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, they do.
They have a kick ass. Well, they got a red sauce.
And their marinara. Like, it's the marinara that's really good.
The key is you got to have a nice meatball, but it's really the red sauce that sells the whole.
Right, because you have to cut up the meatball and then put more sauce on the inside. Yeah. The meatball.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a meatball drenched in the sauce. And I argue that is healthy for you.
Right. I mean, it's vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
No calories. Beautiful thing.
Yeah. I like to make a Bloody Mary out of just Italian sauce. Is what I like to do.
Yeah.
That and vodka, and you go, and you're good to go.
Perfect.
And then you can put meatballs on the little stick and serve.
No. Nothing. There should be nothing in a Bloody Mary except for the Bloody Mary mix, the vodka, the ice, maybe a lime,
celery. Okay.
Come on, olives.
And olives. That's it.
Pickle.
And like I look up.
Do you salt the rim?
Maybe some. Those olives better be stuffed too.
Yeah. Yeah, no. This is where they're sticking like an entire village of things
into the...
I don't like that either.
And then you take out the village and then there's no Bloody Mary there.
Right.
Yeah, but how many Bloody Mary sips can you really handle?
All of them?
You'd be shocked.
I only like take 3 sips. I'm like, okay, I don't want this anymore.
Oh, I love it.
I'll take the mimosa now.
You haven't had a good Bloody Mary, yeah. I don't think.
It's too much acid. I think to her point, though, where did this show come from? But to her point...
Thank you.
If you have... Like, if you start drinking Bloody Marys at 11 o'clock, by 3 o'clock, you want to vomit. Even if you've only had two, you're like, you know what? It is. It's a little bubbly in here right now. It's the how I feel.
That's a good way to sort of ease into a Sunday brunch, though.
Yeah. Go blood like that.
Then you got to drink beer the whole rest of the day. Otherwise, you're going to get, you're going to start feeling.
Just sounds like a regular day for me on the weekend.
That's how it goes. All right.
Are we hungry or thirsty? What's wrong with us?
Canard Wagon coming up in an hour.
Thank
a little less than an hour.
Goodness.
5:40 New time for the Canarbo Wagon, by the way. That's something.
Got to get the business out of the way first.
Maybe they'll bring meatballs, our Canarbo guests today.
No, it's
not that kind of place.
No,
really.
I don't think it is.
I think it kind of is.
Is it? Have you been there?
I scouted the menu earlier.
They
got meatballs?
I don't know if they have meatballs, but I was just kind of getting a vibe from it, like seeing what it's all about.
Ground beef, you want them to make you meatballs?
We place it. Hey, can you bring some meatballs? We need some meatballs.
Did you see what you just started here? This is not why we called. And then the next thing you know, here we go. This is what it is all about.
Punch bowl social.
Punch bowl social.
I can't say that.
Look,
punch
she's just she. Social. We just mentioned drinking to her, and look what happened.
That's what happened.
She's a bit of a lightweight.
I am.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we find out from Judy what's coming up in the real news at the real top of the hour right here. Rocanjo with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Bruno Mars. He's in the news today.
Yeah, there's a story about Bruno Mars and that his music might not be socially redeeming or something like that. What is it?
Apparently, a lot of people think he's black. He says he's not. And that his music is... Is it cultural appropriation was the big discussion on the social media today.
Just stop. It's music. Enjoy it.
He's so good, too. I love him.
Are they talking about?
I don't know the kids these days.
Yeah, what's wrong with them?
Damn kids these days.
I blame millennials.
We even know what any of those words meant that you just said. Blame us. We're not the ones having these conversations on the internet. We're sending pictures to each other.
So he says he's Filipino, Puerto Rican, Ashkenazi Jewish, and I think Spanish on his mother's side. And then
his mother's Filipino, which is, you know, that's an amalgam right there.
Yeah, but he specifically said Filipino and also from Spain. His mom is a mix.
Spanish Filipino.
Puerto Rican and then Ashkenazi Jewish on the daddy side. But, and that's so they're accusing him of appropriating black music.
Oh, shut the blank up.
Come on,
this is too much. This is trending. This is trending on social media right now. You go and look.
Yeah.
A lot of people are very deeply in discussions on this.
It's always the guys who do that are on CNN and they are like, they are college professors from Eastern schools and they're wearing a dashiki and they have a gigantic afro. Have you ever noticed this? There's this one guy, or sometimes they wear a dashiki and then a blazer over the dashiki and they sit around and they talk about, and they've been stuck in their little office in their, you know, generally Eastern half of the United States, either small college or, you know, sort of big name university. And they're like, this is an appropriation of the enslavement of all peoples around the world. And you're like, shut up.
His last song
has nothing to do with anything.
He's so
his
good.
Last song is dripping with finesse. That has nothing to do with anything. It's just
except finesse and the fact that it's leaky, which I had no idea.
With
we didn't ask you to sing it. Anyway, the point here is shut up.
And he's amazing.
Yes.
That's the other point.
People enjoy the music, and if Justin Timberlake wants to do music, it's an homage to the great funk artists of the 1970s. Right, who were not social crusaders. They wanted people to get off their keister and dance.
Right,
that was the whole point of it.
Loose.
So let's all try to find something that we agree on. We all agree on Bruno Mars. Right?
Good.
And instead of this guy going, oh, no, you cannot agree on Bruno Mars. You're not allowed.
Great halftime performer.
Right. He should be in every halftime show.
Every halftime.
He should host the damn Oscars. Although I will tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
His at the Grammys.
Yeah.
He was a little tipsified at the Grammys when he got up, remember?
Yes.
And he was winning all the Grammys, and the drunker he got, the more self-indulgent he became in the speeches. So they might want to just keep him from, you know, maybe a drink after the show. I know this. Yeah. I know this problem.
He can do no wrong, though. He is so talented.
Yes.
I mean, beyond.
Yes. And the guys that he's with are great, and it's a great American experience. Right? He's the perfect American in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He is
blend of cultures.
A blend of all of these, you know, these cultures and, you know, people who came from all these other places, parts of the world, and they all, you know, and he was in the pressure cooker, and he grew up in Honolulu in this, you know, his dad, they lived outdoors for a while because his dad kind of busted out after the mom and dad split up.
Ooh.
And there were like a bunch of kids, and they literally were living in a structure in a public park.
Really?
It didn't have a roof. Yeah. In Hawaii.
Well, if you got to do it somewhere, that's the place to do it.
I think that was the point, which was, hey, you know what? We're going to get a little wet, but we'll be fine. So, but it was just, there are no snakes in Hawaii. That's the most important part of those.
Good
islands.
To know.
Yeah.
I like Hawaii even better, and I've never been there.
Yeah. So that's what that was his deal.
People are just overthinking everything too much.
Oh, yes, for
just
sure.
Just enjoy the music.
But by the way, I should point this out. There's another story here, too. Speaking of people who should just shut the blank up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the story about Whole Foods? And really, it's not so much about Whole Foods, but it's about organic foods.
More like Whole Paycheck.
Yeah. Okay. There is a story that people who prefer organic are blank holes. There's a study that actually proves the people who prefer organic foods are more judgmental.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And less pleasant than people who don't care.
Yeah, they're just uptight. Just eat a Snickers.
They're the same people that started the Bruno Mars debate on Twitter.
They are. Exact same culprits.
What is it?
Right? Doesn't that fit that profile totally?
Yes.
You know what? By the way, this Bruno Mars, whenever I have this reaction now, I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I realize it is? It's Russian trolls.
Right, yeah.
It's people just trying to find another way.
Trying to separate us.
To wedge us.
No.
We gotta start looking out for the people when you see something on social media that you just you're like, oh, come on, who thinks that?
See something, say something.
It's a Russian troll.
Yeah, there should be a way of reporting these things.
Yes. Hey, Facebook, are you looking at this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What about this guy? What about the Bruno Mars guy?
Right, whoever started that.
Just don't get rid of the video I just saw of a little baby cuddling with a puppy. They were so cute.
Aren't you supposed to be doing your job right now?
No, I did that earlier during the John Williams show.
You mean you did the job earlier? Oh, aren't you supposed to be doing your job during the John Williams show, too?
It's a little more lax around there.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Good to know. I'm sure John will like hearing that.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Okay, we got... nobody move. Stay right here. We got a top 5 of 5 you won't believe, and then the Knarble wagon rolls, thankfully. That's all I can say about that.
Yes.
All right, it's all coming your way in 2 minutes. It's a Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio. Take us through the next couple of hours as well. With the, you know, you got the top 5 of 5 in just a second. We got the Knarble wagon here. I hear glasses clinking in the green room as we're getting ready for us.
There's a lot going on in that green room right now. Musical instruments and libations and humans, all kinds of things going on.
Yep. And then we've got, let's see here, we've got, you've already done your reviews. That's the important thing. But we will remind people of what to go see this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got an all-female bluegrass group from Chicago called Fox Crossing.
Nice.
Cool. Which I thought was a mall, but it turns out it's actually...
name of their band.
A band.
String band.
Yep. And so we're going to be getting live music from them coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. It's all right here. Nice. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Sounds perfect.
All right. Now, because it is 5 o'clock somewhere, we have to do this, and then we start right into the drinking.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four.
one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will.
Let's do it.
Checking in at
number five.
NBC released yet another segment from Megyn Kelly's sit down with Vladimir Putin. Do you wonder why Vladimir Putin's meeting with Megyn Kelly? Whatever happened? What happened when Lester Holt called? They're like, no.
I don't know.
Not going to meet with him.
Sat down with him for 2 whole hours.
Yeah.
She said, grilling him.
Yes, it's funny when she grills. Yes.
He's a former KGB guy. I'm sure he's seen worse.
Very entertaining. Did you eat anything in fruit basket I sent to hotel room?
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Red Sparrow program?
Come on now. My. Come on, Megyn Kelly.
Josh.
Yeah. Anyway, she grilled him. I don't know, we'll find out here. Was there grilling in this? There's actually
she
grilling?
Says that's how she's been promoting it, that it was that she almost thought he was going to get up and leave in the middle of this two-hour interview at different points, but that he stayed.
I cannot get up and leave because I am looking at beautiful blue eyes. How do you get hair to be like that?
Oh, gee.
13 Russians. So this is the question about the 13 Russians indicted, right? By the Justice Department and the whole Russian meddling thing?
Why would you allow an attack like this on the United States?
Why have you decided the Russian authorities, myself included, gave anybody permission to do this? Nothing has changed since you and I talked last time in St. Petersburg. Some names have popped up. So what? They could just as easily have been the names of some Americans who are sitting here and interfering in your own political process.
Oh boy.
That was very Trumpian. It could be a 400-pound kid sitting in his bedroom.
I told right? you. He said it, Megan. Bloody eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
He won't be extraditing him, though. He's made that clear.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Now, she appeared on the Today Show this morning to discuss her sit-down and explained how she confronted Putin about whether he ordered the meddling undertaken by his countrymen.
Should the Russian people be concerned that you had no idea this was going on in your own country, in your own hometown?
Listen, the world is very large and very diverse, and there is a fairly complicated relationship between the United States and the Russian Federation. And some of our people have their own opinion about this relationship. You mentioned a number of names, some individuals, and you're telling me that they're Russians. So what? Maybe being Russian, they're actually working for some kind of American company. Perhaps one of them used to work for one of the candidates. I have no idea. These are not my problems.
Oh, boy. Did you say Bruski in there? Did you hear that?
No, Ruski.
Oh, Ruski,
yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if Megyn Kelly had studied Russian for the last 3 years and all of a sudden she's like, what's got to know your language? What the fuck? It's like going back to her. I know what you're really saying to me.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't. I kind of think, yeah, it kind of is your problem, right? Because 13 of your guys just got indicted. There are sanctions that have been imposed. We see you as the meddling, troublesome government that is our most keen adversary here. So, yeah, no, it really is kind of your problem.
It is.
Huh. It is not my problem. You know what the big problem is right now. I get Megyn Kelly to join me for dinner afterwards. Oh, since I'm poisoning everybody around me, nobody wants to have dinner with me.
Not an invitation that you'd want, really.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good for her. Now, this is going to be interesting because this is going to be Sunday night fights because you got Megyn Kelly on Sunday night talking to Vlad. Mm-hmm. And then against that, you got Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes sitting down with Stormy Daniels. Now, here's the interesting thing. They have done the interview.
Okay.
Sources tell me, which means I watch CNN. Okay. Sources tell me that the interview has been done. Now, there's some question about whether they're going to air it on Sunday.
Oh, really? Got to make sure. Got to go through.
It's a little long. I mean, there are a number of legal opinions on where this all falls.
If she has the gag order, or that she's allowed to talk, right? Hasn't that been the problem during the publicity tour so far? That she just has to sit there and not answer certain questions.
Well, and, you know, 60 Minutes is the most storied news magazine in television history, but they've had a few problems sometimes with running stuff.
Yeah.
That the lawyers said, maybe we shouldn't run this.
Yeah, that's true. And they do have this issue right now because she will get fined, according to the contract that she signed, mm-hmm. $1 million for this. Now, her lawyer, who's been all over the place.
Yeah, he has.
He's making the argument that, hey, you know, this is, you know, this David Dennison, which is really Donald Trump, never signed this thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to tell you something. There's a little thing in contract law. I learned this early on. Once you cash the check, you're legally obligated to the contract. And there might be another problem here, too.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS may not have gotten all the money from the $130,000 that she got. Because it's not a legal settlement for damages. It's hush money. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you got a settlement because, you know, you slipped on, you know, someone's house got $130,000. Yeah. You don't have to pay taxes on that. You do have to pay tax on something like this. So there is that kind of an issue.
If she owed $1 million... I'm just doing the quick math.
Yeah.
That's like 16,242 babysitter and or stepmom videos that she'd have to do.
Oh, gosh.
I played the second stepmom in The Storm, Riders on the Storm.
Riders on the Storm.
I was going to get to that joke somehow. I just didn't know quite how.
Nicely done.
Thank
only
you.
Nicely five done. Plots in those. Sure.
Her attorney is tweeting out about this interview, trying to draw people to 60 Minutes this weekend. So he believes it's going to happen.
Wow.
You know what? Of all the scandals, you know me. I am no shrinking violet when it comes to criticizing Donald Trump. None. Zero. I'm troubled by so many things here. But this one, I don't get it. I don't see it. I just don't. Oh my God, he had an affair with a porn actress. So what?
I think enough came out about him, and enough is known about this president that doesn't really shock a lot of people.
Right.
And if you think it's morally reprehensible, you do. And if you think it's he cheated on his wife, and it doesn't surprise you, then you don't. It seems like a sideshow.
If you think it's morally reprehensible, you are clearly not a religious conservative anymore, because they're all like, no, he's fine. He is fine. The only thing it's just
Jesus
showing
forgives.
What a hypocrite people really are about this. If they like the guy, because they like the guy because he's conservative and he's not a, you know, a lily-livered liberal, then he's then it's okay. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Like, if John Edwards did it, look at what happened to him, right? I mean, all the people who did. Now, his is a little different because he had
his
a dying wife.
He had a dying wife. And he had a baby, a love child with his videographer.
At least it's
the
a
time
love
he
child.
Was running, and I don't know.
Didn't they get together? Didn't he get together with the lady?
With the baby documentary maker? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Anyway, all right.
Never finished that book.
Anyway, the point is that it's not. It's all ridiculous.
With you guys on that. It's like now you're going to be shocked by his behavior after all the things he's been recorded saying and has done, you know.
And they think they're going to get him on the fact that his lawyer paid the $130,000. All he's got to do is go, you know how he ends this? He ends this right now by saying, yes, all right, I did. So what?
So wouldn't you, I guess, is what he could say. I'm sorry, we left out a detail. John Edwards got in trouble because he used campaign donations to conceal the whole affair as well. So that's how he got into trouble.
Right. But this is not a campaign donation, we don't think. If it is a campaign donation, then
that's a different
separate.
Category. But in his case, it was campaign finance charges.
Right. All right. Are you guys done with me? Checking in at
number four.
Oh, gosh.
Gone was the smug punk from social media. Martin Shkreli broke down in court, sobbing today, his voice shaking, tears in his eyes, apologizing for his disgraceful judgment, begging for mercy. He sat hunched at the defense table as the judge described his crimes and his troubled upbringing by abusive parents. She then banged him with 7 years for securities fraud. Far less than the government had wanted, but far more than Shkreli had asked for.
Do you wish to make an opening statement?
On the advice of counsel, I will not be giving an opening statement.
What do you say to that single pregnant woman who might have AIDS She needs Daraprim in order to survive.
On the advice of counsel, I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination and respectfully decline to answer your question.
Do you think you've done anything wrong?
On the advice of counsel, I invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination and respectfully decline to answer your question.
I probably would have raised the price higher. Healthcare prices are inelastic. I could have raised it higher. No one wants to say it. No one's proud of it. But, you know, this is a capitalist society, capitalist system, and capitalist rules.
You think it's a criminal threat? What are you, a lawyer?
I am.
Yeah, actually it is.
Funny enough. How's the album, by the way?
It's none of your business.
Well, you can give a review. You don't have to tell us specifically what's on it. But how's the album?
100% none of your business. I paid the money, so you won't know. You saw me. You saw my boys. I'm a young man. I'm 32. I'm from Brooklyn, too. Just because he was in the Wu-Tang Clan 20 years ago doesn't make him a tough guy.
Is it pronounced Shkreli?
Yes, sir.
See, there you can answer some questions. That one didn't incriminate you. I just want to make sure you understand you are welcome to answer questions, and not all of your answers are going to subject you to incrimination. Do you understand that, don't you?
I intend to follow the advice of my counsel, not yours.
What a punk.
Yeah.
What a punk crying today. Oh, I don't want to go to jail for 7 years. Please don't make me go. They did point out, though, at a sentencing hearing that he has a personality disorder. They wouldn't name the specific personality disorder.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I think you know what it is, Ro.
Yes, I think we do. Okay.
Being a D-bag.
It is. Yes,
exactly.
Yes, right.
Thank you, Violetta.
Wait until he goes to the prison commissary and asks for a couple of Bayer aspirin. They go, that'll be $7,000, big boy.
Good luck.
Acute D-baggery, by the way, is what he has.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, we wish for him, that he keeps a very tight grip on the soap.
Oh, gosh.
We'll get to your three, your two, and your one, but right now, Judy's going to tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN Newsroom.
Early mornings this winter, stay safe, stay connected with Morgan Kochmeyer's weather forecast, Sarah Ginger's traffic reports, weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN-TV Morning News.
Top 5 at 5 continues. We're up to
number 3.
Oh, it's back. That's another Sunday night thing. American Idol.
Your Sundays are booked.
Is premiering. It's going to be weird, too, because remember, Sunday is happening. There's one less hour on Sunday.
Oh.
We're changing the clocks on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to...
What are clocks?
Explain to the millennials.
Oh, clocks. Yeah, no, that's the round thing. Mm-hmm. American Idol premieres Sunday night, and your new hosts, or your new judges, I should say, are Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and Luke Bryan.
Good.
Country superstar.
Very nice.
What are they looking for when it comes to finding a contestant who will make the perfect American Idol? Here's Katy Perry.
We are looking for something unusual. I am, in particular. And, you know, there's a lot of great singers in there, but it has to be a combination of things, quite honestly. It all depends on what kind of star you want. Do you want someone that can just gig and play bars and stuff like that? Or do you want to fill arenas? Like, what kind of star do you want? And I'm always looking for the biggest one. So I think it's a combination of things. It's about presence. It's about what do they contribute musically? Is their perspective different? You know, is it unique?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
And, is Dunkelman going to be hosting that from the stage? Or no, the other guy, Sechrist, right?
Is Sechrist coming back to host it? I guess he is, right?
I thought he was part of the production.
He is.
At least when they announced it.
He's the guy. Mm-hmm. Sechrist out.
Sechrist
almost.
Out.
He came
almost
this close. Yeah. Yeah. All right, checking in at
number 2.
In Pennsylvania, Oddball the Cat is credited with alerting residents of a fire that broke out in McKeesport.
Wow.
That's the cat.
That's the cat. Sounds like it does sound like a...
Go Cats.
Yeah. I just want to know, was the cat meowing, or was the cat meowing and also making the sound of a dryer? What was it going? Let me hear that again.
Mm-hmm. It's a cat in heat. Get it? Because of fire.
That's very good. That's good.
Yeah. Fire Chief Tom Percival says, well, if it had not been for the alert feline, things could have been much different.
Cat came flying through the room, and they thought that was unusual, and they opened the bathroom door and found the fire. Both adults exited the house, evacuated, and They seem to be fine. They refuse treatment. We found no smoke alarms in the house, so fortunately the cat was on top of his game.
Well, he didn't. What do you mean? Right.
Cat was on top of his game that day.
Yeah,
yeah. He had a double double.
He brought it, gave it everything it's got.
You know, that's the difference between the dog and the cat. The dog would go in there, drag the family members out one by one, learn how to dial 911. The cat gives you one good meow on the way out. Listen, I'm leaving. It's up to you guys if you're coming with.
And right now it's gloating.
Yeah. Right, right. The cat just jumped out. Like, oh, holy crap! Yeah. There's a fire. I'm out.
What is it, girl? Where is it? Where's Timmy? You're never gonna get that from a cat. I don't know where Timmy is.
Like, I don't care.
So there was Lassie for all those years and not Oddball.
All right, well, we have one positive story here. Let's just leave it at that. All right, here we go.
Number one.
So this is kind of interesting. Last night when they were shooting the Colbert show, they didn't know what was going on in Washington because they shoot those shows around 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock Eastern time, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had to do a break in into the show.
Oh.
They had to add this on and tack this on last night about the president meeting with North Korea.
This can only mean one thing. Mm. Dennis Rodman is going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. Michael Jordan doesn't have the Nobel Peace Prize.
Mike ain't even got one.
We don't know all the details yet. But because North Korea is an economically starved country, the invitation is BYO everything.
I think you guys made those same jokes like 3 days ago, but that's okay.
It's all right. They had
nicely done.
They didn't have a lot of time to think of it because, you know, we always do. And now, you know, here we are 24 hours later and they're all like, might meet, might not meet. I don't know. Yeah. They got to do once Rex Tillerson, who is on an African trip, right? He's visiting all the countries in Africa, including Wakanda, I think is where he had his press conference today.
Yeah, Zamunda and Wakanda.
Yeah, and he's Zamunda's tomorrow. Right.
Joffrey.
He is going to sitting down, and he's like, Mr. President, I was not yet and really told about this completely, and I just maybe we should talk about it because I am your Secretary of State.
Jeez.
Get off the phone, fatso. There was an undersecretary, though, of state that was with him when he got the phone. He made the decision like right there.
He must have, because the day before Rex Tillerson was speaking and talked about how we're very far off from sitting down or having any kind of face-to-face negotiations, and he was even talking about himself, much less the president, something that's never happened before, sitting president in the U.S. sitting down with the leader of that regime.
It was a great bit, though, because the South Koreans came in and they were like, listen, we got a good idea.
They do. That was a good idea.
Dropping the tariff and we get a deal done with Kim Jong-un. You like? We go. And that was what it was like. And they cut a deal to get released from the tariffs for this.
Yeah. And then delivered the invitation.
By the way, Australia today cut a deal to get released from the tariffs.
President just tweeted about it within the half hour, for sure, within last 20 minutes. He says, spoke to Prime Minister Turnbull, committed to having a very fair, reciprocal military and trade relationship, working very quickly on security so that we don't have to impose steel and aluminum tariffs on our ally.
All right, we'll see what we're getting for this. But listen, the guy, he's an OG, Donald Trump. He knows how to, this is his play. Yeah. I'll just threaten everybody. We'll get what we need. Don't worry about it, guys. You continue on in Zamunda or wherever the hell you are. Rex. Seriously, Rex. You got to do something about the suit. All right. Let's check in with Judy Pilak. She's got the WGN News. Well, let me close this up, and then, Judy, just pick it up from here. She's got the WGN News being brought to you by American Weathermakers.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, and one.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life.
and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Does it stop me?
No.
All right, we've got Punch Bowl Social here. And they brought punchy-looking things
yes.
in with them.
Yeah, they did.
Very exciting.
Delicious-looking.
Very, very, very exciting stuff here. All right, we got the founder, Robert Thompson, is here. And he brought head bartender, dishwasher, and beverage director. I think that's what they call them now.
He
Patrick
does
Williams, right? That's kind of that's sort of a thing. And mm-hmm. And they're opening up here at right there in the hottest bar, restaurant, social scene district in Chicago. Congratulations on this.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, Fulton and Green, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, near Fulton, the Fulton Market District, Randolph and Green, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be something here.
Yes.
All right, now let's explain what the idea of Punch Bowl Social is.
Yeah, so Punch Bowl Social is a large format, diner style, craft beverage, social gaming, eatertainment concept.
Eatertainment?
Yeah, eatertainment.
Wow.
We didn't make up the word, but you know, we're stuck with it.
So you've got like the bocce ball courts and the karaoke rooms. I love those. Like the little private karaoke rooms.
Yeah, that's right. So
I'm busy that night, by the way. I cannot do karaoke.
What are you talking about, Ro? Why are you no fun anymore?
No fun ever.
It's the karaoke.
Just because you're not good at it.
All right. Well, I'll sit and watch. Am I allowed to watch?
Then I not can, really. No. You have to participate.
No, I can't do
it. You're in the room.
This is very Harvey Weinstein.
Too soon.
Very crazy.
All right. Explain. So people come in and you have a choice, right? You can the karaoke rooms you can go to or the bocce ball. You got to have a huge space here for that.
Yeah, it's about 27,000 square feet,
wow.
which is really hard Jeez. To assemble in an area like West Loop.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's boutique bowling and a bocce, virtual reality parlors. We got a lot of different types of social activity.
Oh, wow. Plus the punch. Wow, VR meets the punch. That's going to be something right there.
That's
what's
right.
I want to ask a little bit, what's the virtual reality component?
Yeah,
about?
So it's a new thing that we introduced. The first time we updated the gaming program for Punch Bowl since we opened in 2012 in Denver. Hmm. And it's we wanted to do VR in a way that you could do it socially. So a group of friends sit together in an open environment as opposed to hiding in a box somewhere or a room
yeah.
and you have a VR experience and you take turns. We found it's a good time to watch your friends
and to VR you wearing VR goggles
yeah.
is that how it goes and then you're flying or boxing or kicking or they're doing something
and running from orcs or whatever it is that
exactly
yeah,
saving
great.
The world
yeah. yeah exactly
so you can see what your friends are doing or you're doing it together is it collaborative?
Yeah, it's one person at a time, but everybody can see what you're doing, and so it's
heckle,
really a lot of fun.
Heckle, mock, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
wow,
you're dead again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you videotape your friends and then make fun of them afterwards.
That's nice. Then you post on social media when they don't know about it.
Right. Well, they had a whole commercial based on that when VR, like two Christmases ago, right? People uh-huh. Grandma puts on the VR glasses and then has a grabber because she's like, oh my God!
That's pretty incredible.
My dead
really
husband!
Is.
And then it's like what it is, yeah. It is a something. Wow. It is a something.
We have one that takes you on roller coasters, and it does freak you out. Like, there's like a, you feel you're there, right? That's the whole purpose of it. But it's cool to take it to the bar scene because then you're eating, you're drinking, you're social doing it. It's not just hanging out at home by yourself. Love that.
Yeah. That's...
What?
Although
is that what you like to do,
yeah, no, we don't. It's just an interesting moment that we're having here. I mean, eventually there's going to be like communal VR, right, where everybody gets into the experience together and you'll be able to see each other in it. But the the software needs to develop. We're probably 3 weeks away from that. But there's the idea though that people are so stuck in their own little worlds, uh-huh. and now guys like Robert have to figure out how to make people come out and kind of crawl out of their little world.
That's a really interesting thing that we're seeing here. So what we do in entertainment, right, is we're getting folks out of the house where, Uber Eats and everybody will deliver the food to you in your home, and you can have all your digital relationships online.
Mm-hmm.
In order to have a Punch Bowl Social experience, you have to leave your house, right? Amazon can't deliver you a bowling alley.
So you have to calm.
Not yet.
Right, not yet. I say
the size
right?
of that drone.
Right. Yeah, when they get bigger.
Somewhere it's in Seattle, crazy. Someone just had an idea to put us out of business.
No, but it isn't, no, but you're right. And we've done this as a show. Bowling is always a ton of fun, no matter what your skill level. It's like and when you do the like the small format bowling or more intimate bowling, how many lanes do you have?
Just eight. It's boutique.
Yeah, boutique. Mm-hmm. Right. There's the word I was looking for.
Boutique bowling. I like it.
Boutique bowling. Is it a shorter lane or is it the regular?
It's
size?
The full size lane.
Full size lane. Because I know there's one that does it where it's a shorter lane and it's like cheating.
And it's just strike after strike.
That's more excuse. Fun. Do you have to reserve it ahead of time? Do you have to reserve it ahead of time? Lanes?
Do you have to reserve the lanes ahead of time?
Oh, he doesn't have headphones on.
Yeah. You can come in first, come first serve. You know, we do a lot of private parties.
Yeah.
So you can reserve lanes for a private party.
All right, yeah, so you guys are open now and ready to go? Are we?
Tomorrow, right? Is it?
Tomorrow at 9 p.m. So we're doing a charity event tomorrow, which already sold out. Right? It was for KT's Kids, which is a really great organization that helps kids at the Schwab Rehabilitation Center.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Oh, awesome.
But anyway, right. But we open at 9 p.m. tomorrow.
9 p.m. for the people not involved in this, right? So
that's right.
You got the private event, and then it's just a free for all. Well, you're in a place. You're going to get a lot of people walking in.
It's going to be nuts.
We're excited.
Yeah. That's all right. Let's talk about the food and the drink. I'm already allergic to it. All right. Here we go. We got you got three drinks in front of me right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you say punch bowl, you're setting up this idea that Absolutely. It's going to be very punchy.
Sure, sure, sure.
So what's happening here?
So the three drinks you have in front of you, the light one with the grapefruit peel, that's a house-made soda. So non-alcoholic. We take and make a grapefruit syrup.
It's the only one here.
Yeah, that's the only one that's non-alcoholic. I brought one of three. So.
Oh, it's really good.
But we like to highlight non-alcoholic drinks
and
offer. We actually have a separate menu. So this small menu I have here is just for craft beverages that are boozeless.
Wow.
This one is fantastic.
It's a great concept.
Really
to make that syrup, we macerate whole grapefruits in sugar for like a week. And that pulls all the flavor, the pith, the peel, the fruit. So it's like you're biting into a grapefruit.
Oh, it is. It's like so fresh.
Yeah, thanks.
It's very good. And it's a great concept because you do have a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, who are on various programs. They'll take 30 days and they'll do some sort of cleanse or some sort of thing where they're like, hey, I'm not drinking for the next month.
Yeah.
You know, not because they have a drinking problem, just because it's part of the health program they're doing, but they can still go out and get their VR on, do some boutique bowling and have a nice punch.
We don't want anybody to miss out on the party.
Right. Well, and some of the people, you know, they've sort of pre-gamed with maybe something else. You know, the medical marijuana is very big now in this town.
I don't know anything about that.
Dark.
I'm just telling you.
I'm trying to keep it nice and light and happy.
Listen, I know what's going on and they're like, I don't want to drink on this, but I'll tell you what, if you got that, if you want this, I would suggest the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
You did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Excellent job with that.
Fabulous.
All right, we'll come back and we'll find out what the booze options are in the food. Also coming up right after we check in with Judy to find out what's coming up at the top of the hour. Carnarvon Wagon is out on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis, brought to you by the Carnarvon Wagon, brought to you by It's Just Lunch. That's what I meant.
Is the Carnarvon Wagon out?
It might be. Punch Bowl Social is in with the Carnarvoning, and Punch Bowl Social is opening tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. The grand opening tomorrow at 310 North Green Street. That's Green and Fulton, essentially. And what a concept here. It's a gigantic what did you call it? Eatertainment?
Eatertainment, yeah.
Eatertainment concept.
I love that.
So you got the food, you got the drink, but you want to come play virtual reality, you want to bowl, you want to karaoke, you want to do whatever it is.
Bocce.
To get the stuff out of. You got the bocce?
We got the bocce.
You got the bocce. I don't understand.
I felt very old, by the way. You made me say that the bocce.
Yeah,
the bocce.
That's what it's Chicago. You got to put the in front of a lot of stuff,
and then S on the end of things that don't have S's.
Yeah, you got the bocces.
Yeah.
What is the I know that there's the little ball, then there's the big balls. I don't know. I don't never quite figured out exactly how to do it, but it's fun. It's very social.
So fun,
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you do it with a cocktail in your hand, and now we've moved on to the cocktails because you got these cocktails that are mocktails essentially, right? That you've come up with. That's a term that's come into fashion now that doesn't have alcohol in it, which is just amazing stuff. All right, now what are you most proud of with the actual booze in it? High octane.
Well, what you have in front of you, the red colored one, that's our watermelon polo bowl.
Oh.
So what you have here is reposado tequila, a little watermelon spearmint tea, and a watermelon shrub.
Oh,
ooh,
nice and refreshing.
That is.
You know, nice and crisp.
Yeah, that's going to go down very.
But the tea part, then you say, "Oh, it's medicinal. It's medicinal. It's getting me up for a karaoke lady." Yeah,
I think it's very interesting too, the way that the reposado kind of kicks into the whole thing. So very nice.
There it is.
Constructive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys ever had salted watermelon? You ever seen people do that before?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of idea behind
that's
this
the concept.
Yeah, nice. Tequila has some briny notes to it.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to watermelon, and there you go.
Wow. Oh boy!
Something's right about that.
So we do. Yeah, we do single serving, four serving, and eight serving bowls.
All right, let me just tell you something. You give me one of those eight serving bowls, I might start singing karaoke for
that's
you.
The idea.
Yeah.
This could that's be all something. It takes.
Maybe this could be the thing. This could be, you know, we've been thinking about like a show outing here. Been trying to get, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted an entertainment kind of thing.
Come on,
even though I didn't know that word to describe it yesterday, but that's what we're looking for.
For once, Ro won't be the nerd in the punch bowl.
And we're too late. 2 months late coming up on Violetta's birthday now.
Oh, no, so no. She's starting up for next year.
Yeah.
Beginning
so
the
pre-game. Trying to figure that out.
All right. I start the next day.
And what is the, and now there's a sort of an amber one here.
So
which is
the last one you have is our booze forward one. So this is our Two Hats Blues.
Oh, my God.
So rye whiskey. Yeah. So,
oh,
yeah.
Wow,
you kind of warm
it
up.
It.
You kind of warm it up.
Yeah.
You know, one step at a time.
Yeah.
Booze then, forward.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, spirit forward. But this is your Manhattan drinker's cocktail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is.
Yeah, that's.
It is. Well, you know what?
It's
it looks
a sipping
like,
cocktail.
Okay. Well, it looks like a punch. Like the one thing about, like, and I'm a Manhattan guy.
Sure,
so I'm,
sure.
But, you know, the darkness of it sells that it's good. You get your, prepare yourself. Buckle in.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
This has got sort of a light, springy kind of look to it, and then next thing you know, it's like,
it's
watch
a,
out!
It's a grown-up drink.
Yeah.
For the, well, you got to have diversity on the menu.
Absolutely.
You know, some of our drinks are more aperitif, lower alcohol. This is the top one.
This
know?
Is when Don Draper comes in and says, that's cute with the kid drinks you got there, but I need a drink for me.
It's
and you
Friday.
Go, I got something for you, Mr. Draper. Sit right down.
You're going to do Frank Sinatra with karaoke
exactly.
when you
Perfect.
Got this one in your hand.
I could, maybe I'll do that.
Sinatra for Bocce, Sinatra for Bocce. You're up next.
Yeah. He's got his Manhattan.
Sir, you're not allowed to smoke in here.
What is... what is...
Shut up, little girl.
What's the food option here, too?
So we focus on American diner, you know, so all from scratch. We partnered up a few years back with celebrity chef Hugh Atchison. And he's a great chef known for his southern cuisine.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything in the house is great. You know, it's like the diner classic, the kind of stuff you crave.
Love it.
Yeah,
spaghetti
we
and meatballs.
Like hand food, but hand food too, because you got a lot of things going on.
Oh, of course.
Burgers.
A lot of shareable dishes.
Okay.
You know, we do a couple of things. My favorite is our lobster fries. So
what?
We do lobster fries. Oh. Yes.
Yeah, gotta try those.
There you go.
Aioli bacon. I mean, you can't go wrong with those. Nice. We have little fried bologna sandwiches that you get with an olive tamponade. Yeah, we kind of beef it up.
That's like 3 o'clock in the morning is what I would be craving after these. That's what I would be. And then I have to be knocking on your door. You still open? Where's the fried bologna?
That's a little different, though, than ours. So ours is actually, technically, it's mortadella, and it's nitrate-free, and it's sustainably raised. So we're trying to do this, like, elevated version of a bologna sandwich.
There you go.
Oh,
see,
that's
an update.
Still very
right
Kev. Hold my bologna.
It's
his turn, you know.
All right, kids. Thanks very much.
Very
Punch
good, guys.
Bowl Social opens tomorrow night officially. Fulton Market District, 310 North Green Street. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's great. You got the full line of things for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Is whatever you have to do right there. All right, we got Judy's News, too. Fox Crossing String Band.
Aren't they good?
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I when I saw Fox Crossing is coming out, I thought, okay, the mall? What are we doing here?
Stop it.
What are we doing? I don't know how we do it. And this,
all right.
I am so excited about this. This is an all-female bluegrass group, and they are amazing.
Oh,
they're
so
absolutely
good.
Amazing. So we're going to be, we got live music coming up. It's live music Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We're all ready here. We have prepared ourselves, and Carnarvon Wagon is out. It's just it's a great way to get home on your last Friday. Going if you go home in the 6 o'clock hour, this is your last Friday where there isn't sun in the sky.
It's dark,
for the next number of months, almost six months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spring forward.
We're springing forward on Sunday. Let us not forget that.
You can't forget it because your phone does it for you now.
Exactly.
Oh, that's true.
Right. You're looking at your watch. You're looking at your phone. Go, what the hell happened?
The car is always the problem for me. It's like, how do you do that again?
You have to get the owner's manual out.
I just wait 6 months and then it goes back. You know,
do the math.
Right.
The I don't know. I got a I have a stove. that just won't, no matter what I do.
Forget about the stove.
It won't work. Or an oven, or an oven, I guess. A stove's a different word. Stove. But oven, I don't know. I don't know how to describe these things. But it was, when I'm staring at this thing, it's never the right time, no matter what time it is. And then it's got those, it's always missing like one of the LCD things is broken. So sometimes it's, you know, it's like not 7 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock. And you're like, that's not 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Six, seven, yeah, it's a mess.
Or 7-0-L. Wait a minute. What
that's
is
not
that?
Right. All right. So here we go. We've got Kevin Powell telling us now about a very important thing. He said to me just a few minutes ago, Ro, can I just have a few minutes of the program?
So that's how it starts.
I could discuss a few things that are important to me. And I thought, okay, what the hell?
How much time do I have?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Kevin, what's on your mind?
So I've been covering the Cubs and White Sox for the station for the past few years, and I've had a Powell at the Park blog, which I know rolls right off the tongue, at WGNradio.com. And now there's the Powell at the Park podcast, which just launched this week. I'm pretty excited about it. It'll be up on iTunes, Google Play. Every week we'll have Cubs segments, we'll have White Sox segments, we'll have front office, managers, players. This week I talked to Lucas Giolito, starting pitcher for the White Sox. And then for the Cubs segment, I talked with John Greenberg, who's the editor-in-chief at The Athletic. And if you're into the Chicago sports scene, it's must-read stuff from The Athletic. I mean, it's not just baseball. It's baseball, hockey, Bears, Bulls. Some of the best writers and sports reporters in the city. So anyways, John and I talk some Cubs. So that's Powell at the Park podcast, WGNradio.com. It'll be up at least once a week, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe we'll do a couple episodes a week.
I swear to God, this is not what I thought was going to happen, because he comes up to me and he's like...
You didn't know what it was?
And he's like, I
thought he was retiring there.
I really need to talk to you about some important things that are happening in my life.
Something's on his mind.
I've been working very hard on the program. I just thought that, you know, maybe you'd give me a minute or two to discuss some things very close to my heart.
Oh.
And then I thought, okay, he's going to announce something here.
Well, it's valuable real estate 3-7 on WGN, so I didn't want to just be like, Ro, I'm going to plug my podcast.
Yeah, but to plug in his podcast.
Build it up.
I thought
like
he was going to announce something major.
Very
smart.
That is major. His podcast.
All right.
The Bears have made a trade with the Blackhawks or something. Some unprecedented cross-sport trade, you know, that he was going to announce.
So, by the way,
sorry to let you down.
If it would help either franchise right now, I'd take it.
So they're going to call that it'll be the Pat Puh. The Powell at the Park podcast. Right. Just think Pat Puh.
PPP. Yeah. Whatever works.
Triple
for
P.
You.
Triple
P. That was her name on the contract, wasn't it?
I think so. Pretty close.
Anyway, the point here is it's going to be a very, very fun summer for us here. And Kevin is going to be working very, very hard, unfortunately, this summer, because we're going to be triple dutying him here between that and covering these games at night for us, the Cubs or the Sox, and, you know, depending on who's home. And then we'll send him on the road with the Sox for some of these games. We're going to be out at the park a number of times over the season as well.
Cool.
And I know Mr. Roper is going to be doing some stuff. We're all in.
Well, now since he's here, I could put him on the spot. Richard, will you be a guest on my Powell at the Park podcast? Oh.
You know, I've got some people that usually handle those requests.
I'll do it the formal way.
I'm actually going to be following the Fox Crossing string band. They've got about 10 dates we're going to be plugging here, so I'll try to work it in between there.
Richard, I have some important things I need to discuss with you right now.
I have a craft services you'll have to meet. You know, it's amazing, though. The tower here on Michigan Avenue, the White Sox flags you see, unfurling, and it's like one of those parallel universe movies. Like, what if the other side had won? Where you see White Sox flags on the Tribune Tower?
It's seriously how it is. There's the one on the
Netflix series, you know. Imagine a world in which
you wake up and you're like, wait, what?
The Chicago White Sox are on 720 WGN.
Oh,
amazing.
Man.
What a time we live in.
Yes, it is. Things do seem a little upside down. I'm not going to lie to you, but I never really considered this to be completely upside down. Well, listen, the White Sox were on WGN.
They
it might have been 1943, but they were on.
But it is weird to see people on Michigan Avenue stop and look in the little showcase window there and see the White Sox, you know, framed up nicely here, the Tribune Tower.
Very cool.
We do sometimes see some Cubs fans who get angry. Now, this is really, I think this is why WGN is more important than the whole thing, because you'll see some Cubs fans get by and like flip you the bird now, and you're like, when did Cubs fans become the outsiders angry about the other team? Well, it's always been the other way around.
Speaking of the flag, I put a picture of it or a little video of the flag waving on Tribune, and people have just been going nuts over it. The fact that there is a Sox flag on Tribune Tower. The Sox fans love it, of course. Some Cub fans are like, whatever. Some Cub fans are ticked off. Like, I'm like, okay, relax. I'm just posting the flag on the tower, but it's a very heated.
Well, listen, the Cubs fans are more than welcome to go down to the Cork and Kerry in Bridgeport with a nice Cubs flag and mount it right there in front there and get a warm bear hug from all the fellow White Sox fans.
See, they're not getting on the Dan Ryan. Not unless they have to.
The only reason the Cubs fans are going on the Dan Ryan is to get to their summer homes in Indiana.
Why is the city behind us?
Yeah.
What's ahead?
There's something past the city.
That is really true. Kinda well, I would like to say it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Now, and yes, Cav, I'll be glad to come on the PPP, the Triple P.
Right. Just landed.
Took a couple
guess.
Minutes for him to decide, though. Yeah. He just Googled you.
Well, he sent me a couple of texts. You know, listen, 12-pack of Stella.
The worst is when I try to talk to Ro about something, and he texts me back like, yeah, we'll talk on Monday. I'm like, what?
And then he forgets.
No, I like, this is like instant.
So you're
or else
jealous?
I feel
so
like...
right now you're making this a competitive thing between us that no, I got to plug something.
I'm not launching anything.
She's going to want equal time.
Launch a podcast. Maybe you'll get a segment.
By the way, Violetta seems to be very upset about the fact that I've come to this decision in my life that's really important about doing a podcast and a blog.
My birthday's coming
classic
up soon.
Classic Violetta raining on my parade.
So I don't. Yeah, I do. But it's funny because Violetta wants to talk about something at like 4 o'clock in the morning between Friday night and Saturday morning
with me. Right.
She's, texting me.
Hey, you got
about
a second?
Something to say.
I want to tell you something. We're doing wrong on the show. We'll talk about it Monday morning.
I just realized something.
You know what?
That's not true.
That's Rose's version of we'll see.
Worst of bringing something up though. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make notes. Gotta talk.
And then
about
you freeze
this.
Up.
Yeah, and then I'm just like, you know what? Never mind. I'll talk to you later.
I just wanted you to approve this boomerang video I did.
Why would I ask for your opinion on a boomerang
you
video?
You totally would. Can I post this video from the bar when we were out last night?
Yeah, no.
That
would be the answer to that.
Please.
That's a separate issue.
I'm happy, then I'm sad. All in 2 seconds.
So, Kevin, your podcast, are you going to do strictly sports interviews? Or are you going to do food and like families?
It will be a mix of all things baseball, and everyone's no secret that I enjoy eating. And one of my favorite days of the year is when the White Sox invite the members of the media to try all the new food at the park. So I'm still waiting on that, but we'll probably have, Brooks Boyer to come on.
That's next week, I think, isn't it? Next week or the week after?
Wow, I haven't gotten that email.
Bro, I think you need to keep an eye on this kid. All of a sudden, and time for the Knuckle Cart, in which we bring out a new restaurant each week. Roll out the Knuckle Cart. Here's a soundbite from Family Guy. It's nothing like an Arbo wagon.
I'll make sure there's cold
copyright
Stella's
2018.
For you, Richard, if that's what it takes to get you.
A little Modella in honor of Sox Park.
I used to be the fun reporter that covered the Cubs on their road to the World Series on the street. So if you ever need someone to talk about that. Powell.
What was that for Stevenson Junior High 3 years ago?
They had to meet that ace they had on the team.
I also went to Cleveland. Come on, I have things to talk about when it comes
to
sports.
We'll see.
Still on the air down here.
Can schmooze me with some cabbage rolls. Maybe I'll give you a segment.
Really?
This
is what's happening.
I pray to God that this is not what the podcast is, because it's not even good. It's definitely not good radio. It's definitely not a good podcast.
Not good promotion right there.
All right. You two work it out. However you want to work it out, it's all going to be fine. I think you guys are going to be,
No, your podcast is too good for me. Keep it.
Okay, so 2 stars for A Wrinkle in Time, 3 stars for Gringo, and Strangers Pray at Night is a standard horror film. So those are your weekend roundup, bro.
Thank you very much, Rich. We've got now Judy Pilak telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
That is Fox Crossing String Band, who's going to be all over the Midwest this summer, playing for us spring and summer. We'll tell you all about that.
Music kind of makes you happy, doesn't it?
It does. Well, this particular piece of music was in Bonnie and Clyde, was it not? I believe. I am not mistaken. There's been a lot of bluegrass stuff. A lot of this stuff's
so good.
100 years old. It's very really cool. Amazing stuff. Yeah.
An all-girl band.
Yeah. We're going to learn how they decided to do this coming up. This is kind of really interesting stuff. So, cool. All right. Speaking with Richard Roper here, we ask this question. Mm-hmm. Why are they remaking The Sopranos in a feature-length film? What's going on there?
Well, David Chase, the creator of The Sopranos, did confirm this week that this is not going to be a remake or a movie version, or they're not going to pick it up with that Journey song playing and the family sitting in that diner and let everybody know this is a prequel to The Sopranos saga. So The Sopranos, you know, was in real time and debuted in the late 1990s. This is actually going to be set 30 years prior to that, actually in 1967. The working title is The Many Saints of Newark. And the idea is to show like some of the characters that you would know from The Sopranos. I mean, Tony Soprano would be 20, probably, something like that. But, of course, a lot of those older guys, Uncle Junior and all those guys, would be in their prime, right? And it's set against the backdrop of the 1967 Newark riots. So it would be a feature-length film, self-contained, but would have a lot of things that for people who are fans of The Sopranos, I think would find a lot of, you know, indications and inklings of what's going to happen. Kind of like they do with Better Call Saul, which is set, you know, like 8 years or so before Breaking Bad. You start to see these characters go, oh, I know what's going to happen.
Right. You see the characters back in the day.
So that is interesting because, Tony Soprano would have been, actually like a teenager probably in 1968.
I think that'd be about right. So, you know, you could certainly have a young Tony character, but obviously we lost James Gandolfini a few years back.
Right.
You know, you could have an all new cast. I don't think anybody from the TV series would be able to play themselves at an earlier age. You know, so if you had some of the characters who were in their 60s and 70s, which there were tons of in the series, it would be all actors in their 30s.
Is this for theatrical release?
Yes. Yeah, feature film.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's cool that it's tied to it and David Chase is part of it, but it'll be a movie that'll sink or swim on its own because, first of all, that series went off the air 10 years ago and this movie probably won't come out for 2 or 3 years. But also, it's just, you know, being that much of a prequel, it's not going to bring in the fans who were just, you know, dying for more Sopranos because it's a completely, you know, separate story. But
although
a cool tie-in.
But it might kick in, breathe new life into the Sopranos series. And
absolutely.
They want to roll it into some other. But HBO, if you go to HBO's, you know, web portal, all that stuff is on there.
Yeah.
You know, anything that ever ran on HBO is essentially available.
I think, and I could be wrong, that's the way to get it, because I don't think they run it, you know, on the regular HBO channels. They run their own stuff and the movies and stuff, and I think it ever was a deal where they made a deal to show it elsewhere, because you'd have to slice it up so much to show it on even basic cable.
But on the cable packages now, HBO has like 12 separate HBOs.
Hmm.
There's HBO. Whoa, we forgot to show you this. Right? I mean, it's
HBO. Whoa, I think that's called.
Yeah, HBO. Whoa. I mean, it's like there's an HBO for everything. There's like HBO teen, HBO tween, HBO 8-year-old, HBO. Like there's something for everybody now. And I you just wonder, eventually that's all going to go away because it's all sort of heading toward this over the top television anyway.
But all on demand. Although, you know, a show still has to become a hit for it to become on demand. It's always still trying to figure that out, you know.
Yeah.
Though Netflix seems to be doing pretty well at that. They're going to have 7,000 new shows just tomorrow.
There's a story out about how they are trying to do something with Obama, the former president.
A look.
You know, you know what's so funny? They announced that they're in talks with Barack Obama for something.
That was it. Uplifting. Something that helps other people.
It was very
vague.
Right. Is it a movie? Is it a series? Is he in it? Is he just producing it? Is Michelle in it?
No, they didn't say.
They won't say anything about it.
Mm-mm.
Now, you know, if I'm Barack Obama, I stay low and out of the picture for the moment here because the minute he pops his head up, it's like whack-a-mole. Today in the White House press conference, they were beating him up for having a bad economy versus where they are now. And like, if you just kind of remember, like in January of 2009, when you know he became president to 2016. It was a much better moment. We're just now on our 10th year. Ninth year, right? Ninth anniversary of the bull market
of the
today.
Bull market, which seems like a long run.
There's no question the economy's done particularly well here in the last year and a half. There's no question about that. But but it also did okay there. And it's like, why? And it's why choose right now? We're not at, no one's bringing him up at the White House right now. I kind of want to know what's happening with the angry little guy in North Korea. Well, let's talk about that. Can we talk about that for just a minute?
Deserves some attention for
well,
sure.
Well, yeah. And isn't that the way for the ex-president to be the most popular is to just disappear? Think about, you know, George W. Bush. Everybody right. loves him now because he shows up twice a year. Once he throws out a first pitch,
right.
and then he shows off a painting of a dog that he did all by himself.
Yes.
Everybody goes, you know, I kind of miss him.
I kind of do.
And then he waves to everybody at a Rangers game, and that's it. And then he goes off again.
I know when you stop and you think about what happened in America from 2001 to 2000, it wasn't so great. Yeah. You know, two wars and as close as we've ever gotten to a depression since the depression. But I still kind of like it. It makes me calm. I wake up in the morning now and I think I'm going to have a cerebral hemorrhage when I look at my phone.
I think you are too some days, right?
Yeah. I'm like, no, he didn't. No, he did. He just say that.
That didn't happen.
He didn't just tweet that, did he?
Let's just pretend it didn't.
All right. I need? I need another cocktail, and I need some of Fox Crossing String Band.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Bluegrass.
Perfect.
Baby.
On the other side of Judy's News, we're going to have all of that. Stay right here. That's Fox Crossing String Band and Little Black Heart, and they're live in studio with us right now,
yes.
And we cannot wait to have them play for you because they are amazing. We're on a roll here.
We've had such good talent.
Yes.
Amazing.
The Live Music Fridays, so do not miss this. Allison Branch is, she's the spokesperson for the band.
Mm-hmm.
They always have to throw somebody out to talk about these things, so it might as well be her. And where are you guys from?
Yeah, that's a great question. A couple of us are from local here in Illinois, and the other two of us are from Texas. Cassie technically is from North Carolina, but she calls Illinois home today.
Nice.
So.
And were you all, is this your profession here doing this, or is this like a full-time thing?
We wish it was. We try to make it a full-time thing, but it's not quite yet. We've been together about a year, so we're just getting rolling.
So how did you find, this is a dumb question, I think, right now, because everybody on the internet finds everybody on the internet, but is that how you found each other? Because obviously you got four great bluegrass musicians here.
Yeah, it wasn't easy to do. We did find one person on the internet, Beth, our bass player, we found through social media. Despina and I had been playing in another band, and it's her lifelong dream to have an all-girl bluegrass band. So
cool.
She convinced me, and then she also knew another great player around Illinois, and that's Cassie. And so she brought her to the table, and then we found Beth, and we just hit the ground running.
Wow. You don't hear a ton of bluegrass music. I love it, but in the Midwest, it isn't something you see everywhere here all the time. I lived in Texas for a couple of years myself, and got to love it. It's just there's something of the levity about it, the soul. It just lifts you up and makes you, you know, happy. But it feels like, I wonder if people are sometimes experiencing this sort of music for some of the first time when they see you, or do they remark on what you've done here?
Yeah, I think that it is interesting. Bluegrass is maybe not as well known as a genre as some of the other genres, so we try to bring that forward, doing some covers that people know and also originals as well. But I think even for us getting into this bluegrass scene, it's been really interesting to find out that there really is a huge scene of bluegrass and more than what we really knew, and lots of really great festivals in the Midwest and really all over the country. And we've been really fortunate to have been asked to play at a lot of these festivals last year and coming up this year. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, coming up, you can see these ladies, and you're going to hear them right here. You're going to be blown away by it. But you can see them Friday, April 20th, right? So that is 2 weeks from today. Right? Do I have that right? What the hell day is it today? Do I have that right?
Next month.
Oh, it's in April. So that's not right. You know, I've already counted April. I've gotten rid of March.
Don't Thanks move your much. Clock forward the whole month tomorrow.
I did.
Just 1 hour.
I'm just trying to get it. You know, I hate winter. It's like I got a real problem. So that's Friday, April 20th, which is more than just 2 weeks away.
It is.
But you can see them there, Bourbon on Division, which is in Wicker Park.
Cool.
And then the following day, Ladies of Bluegrass in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then throughout the summer, you're going to be all around the Midwest.
We are. Yeah, we're going to do some local shows as well as some big festivals. We're going to do the Frankfort Bluegrass Festival, which we were fortunate enough to do last year, as well as the John Hartford Memorial Festival. That was very exciting to be invited to, our first time this year, and that's going to be in June.
That's in Bean Blossom, Indiana.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something has to be in Bean Blossom, Indiana, and it might as well be that, I think, is the way to look at that. All right. Well, what do you want to do for us?
So we're going to do an original tune that was written by Miss Cassie over here, and it's called The Difference Between Whiskey and Me.
Take it away. Okay. Fox Crossing String Band right here. Uh-oh, we have a technical issue. There we go. This is the way they do it on WFMT, by the way. Also, there's always kind of a moment of silence here. Here we go.
A lot of anticipation.
One more time. Fox Crossing String Band.
There's a dark corner and a large back room where you've wrapped your hand around your lady in love. They brought to tell you you've got trouble, and any fool could see that you've lost sight between your whiskey and me. Yes, I'm leaving.
Good.
That song touches
spoke
my...
Spoke to you?
It spoke to me. Those words have been spoken to me directly before. So that's
flashbacks.
That's a beautiful thing right there. I don't know. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh my God, did she say that to me?
Yeah, no. Okay. Wait a minute.
That's very good.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. That is excellent.
It's
by
so
the way,
good.
That is Fox Crossing String Band, and you can see them on Friday, April 20th, which is like a month away, mm-hmm. but still, at Bourbon on Division. And then, I should mention this, too. You're going to be doing a Mother's Day show, if I am not mistaken, here at Bub City in Rosemont, right?
Oh,
another
man.
Place to
great
go see
venue.
People there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. All right, we'll come back. We'll hear more from Fox Crossing String Band. But first, David Jennings, tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour. All right, it is Live Music Friday, and Fox Crossing String Band is with us,
mm-hmm.
and they got enough time for at least one more song,
nice.
And I want to get out of their way, because they are so,
they're so good.
Darned good. So let's just do it. This is a cover song you might recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
me a raft and she's ready for floating. Oh, Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping at paddleboard thumping. Black water keep rolling on past just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Light, gonna make everything pretty. Mama gonna make everything alright. And I ain't got no worries, cause I ain't in no hurry at all. Well, if it rains, I don't care, don't make no difference to me. Just take that sweet car that's rolling uptown. Yeah, I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland, and we'll dance in the honky-tonk, and I'll be buying everybody drinks all around.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Well, keep on shining your light. Gonna make everything pretty. Mama gonna make everything all right. And I ain't got no worries, cause I ain't in no hurry at some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand.
Come take me by the hand.
Pretty mama, I'll dance with your daddy all night long.
I'd like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Take me by the hand.
Come take me by the hand.
Pretty mama, I'll dance with your daddy all night long.
I'd
like to hear some funky Dixieland. Pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Come on, baby.
Dixieland,
pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
Ooh, there you go. Nice. That is Fox Crossing String Band right there. Wow. All right. So all of the, you need to get a hold of them. It's on the social media. Mm-hmm. You got the
you can
Fox,
find them.
Fox Crossing String Band, except for their Instagram, which is bluegrass_is_foxy.
Very nice.
Which I like that.
They call you Babe Grass. I'm sure that's not really in the spirit of 2018, but that's what some of the people on the Facebook call you. So
it's okay. They're banned. That's you gotta,
so talented.
Yes, we gotta get people's attention somehow,
you
right?
Do.
Isn't that the way to do it?
You do.
All right.
Well, you got it.
Bourbon on Division, Friday, April 20th, and then Ladies of Bluegrass up in Green Bay, that festival. You're also at the John Hartford Memorial Festival in Bean Blossom, Indiana in June, and Frankfurt Bluegrass Festival in the middle of July. Right here back in Chicago, but throughout the Midwest this entire spring into the summer. And don't forget, May 13th, the Bub City in Rosemont for Mother's Day, right? What a better way to do Mother's Day than with this place. I would like to do this actually for Mother's Day because it'll keep the screaming to a minimum at Mother's Day if these guys are playing in the background. Yeah,
You don't have good memories of the Mother's Days?
There tends to be some emotionalism. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it all breaks down.
That can
down
be healthy.
There. Yeah. But I want to thank them very much for being here. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Ladies,
you're
for
so
being
good
here. We've got Justin Coffin stepping into the studio here. And tell us now, sir, what's coming up on your very radio program.
What's up?
Yeah. Hi,
all right, I'm set. I'm in.
Okay.
forgot my banjo.
How great are they?
They are great.
And I figure this is right up your alley.
I love it.
The kind of hipster thing that you like to go do. Because what am I going to do? I got to be in bluegrass now because it's what all the guys with beards are doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the various stringed instruments always will do it for me.
I'm a kind of a woodwind guy myself, but it worked out. This is just a beautiful thing that's happening here.
Do you play anything, Justin? Are you a musician?
No, mm-hmm. But I do play guitar, but I preface that by saying I'm not a musician. Not even close.
I
brought it out a couple times and strummed a couple of the chord progressions that I remembered from when I was in the 90s trying to impress people.
Mm-hmm. You mean get chicks? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go?
I tried it for my son, and he was so not impressed with my one second.
Hold on, I got this.
I got the next chord. It's coming up.
Yeah. It's all good.
It's out of tune. That's what you do for the first 15 minutes when you pull the guitar out of the closet. It's not right.
Very impressive.
Very impressive.
I played the violin as a kid, and then I tried to pick it up as an adult, and my dog would run out of the room when I was practicing, and I'm not kidding. I kind of gave it up because you get frustrated as an adult trying to pick these things up, you know?
How dare the dog treat you like that?
I know. Yeah. I thought that was rude. He actually would try to paw at the door to try to get outside.
No, he did.
He totally did, and I think that was really cool.
Am I not feeding you? That's what you have to say to the dog.
Roof over
I'm the hand that feeds you.
Right.
Seriously.
Dogs usually understand these
things. Don't insult the hand that feeds you. That's actually not the expression, but it's something like that.
It works. Yeah. It totally works.
That's kind of the deal. Yeah.
Do you not like this kibbles and bits? You'll get a little bit more wet food if you listen to mom play a little violin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just said should. I am not 100% sure that the violin is really kind of in the oral range, and I mean that AURAL. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We knew you did. Classical education. The oral range of a dog, right? It's like the dog might go,
whoa,
I've got to put up with you guys talking already.
Yeah.
And now this.
Could have been that. I hope that's what it was. I just remember taking out the case to start playing, and he would immediately run. But, you know, now the violin's so cool because you can play the fiddle. The fiddle's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was growing up, you know, I don't know, nobody played the fiddle.
Yeah, were you in the children's?
I was in the Chicago Youth Symphony Orchestra.